Welcome you members, in particular the department led by the Minister and Deputy Minister for both here today. And of course we are meeting at a time when in the public there are a number of issues that arise. And for purposes of today's meeting, I would leave those that the Minister will probably capture those points as she would open for the discussion. So in that scope, please feel welcomed. As it relates to apologies, just for record, only have one of Honorable Van Damme will join the meeting later. She's running late. Otherwise, other members are here. It's just that they're still walking in and out, but they're here. Yes, so we are now recording only the one for Honorable Van Damme, which then would take us to the next item. Just to avoid what we did previously, I'm not expecting this huge delegation to be introduced, DG. But I do know you have key people that you'll deal with that part when your time comes. But honorable members would allow the minister to just give an overview. Yes.
Just on a procedural point, so yes, that members can note, they can't leave these benches open. They must come closer. We must be very close to each other in here. This bench is
currently... DM, you're out of order. I thought you were raising a procedural matter, as you say, only to realize that you just want to be comforted by the fact that members are closer to you. Maybe they are keeping that for oversight, that there must be space in between. So allow that, so that there is no conflict in between who is holding one on oversight. So in that score, as I said, we will now get to the item on the briefing by the Department of Communications and the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services on the performance and expenditure reports for the first quarter of 2019-2020. But as we know that the reports are showing separate departments, we know it's one, so would allow you to present. I take it that honorable members will accept that. We have both presentations without taking clarity questions and deal with the whole report at the end. Is that acceptable, members? That we approach it that way? Okay. So in that score, honorable minister, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And congratulations for your election to the Portfolio Committee. I've missed the first one. Good morning, honorable members and the delegation from our side. Honorable Chairperson, we are meeting today as the department coming to make a presentation or give account of the work that we've done in the first quarter as we've submitted our presentations to say how far have we gone in terms of the commitment that we've made to the people of South Africa. I'm going to give a broader view, and then I will invite the DGs to come and get into the specifics as the time goes on. But with your permission, once more, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to talk to the issues that are in the public domain that are affecting the work that we are doing in our portfolio. Key to the things that are out there, Chairperson, was the issue, as you have heard, the resignation of the sub-hall CEO, Mr. Mark Barnes, whom we got to be notified by the board that the CEO has submitted a resignation. Of course, we had to check with them, and then they informed us that they had a meeting with him and they agreed on a joint statement. We are informed, honorable members, that one of the key reasons why Mr. Mark Barnes decided to resign was his non-approval of the approach that has been taken by the Reserve Bank in relation to the shareholding of the Post Bank. As I'm talking to that, honorable members, a submission was made last year by the former ministers of finance and of telecommunications together with SAPO, with the proposal that SAPO be the bank controlling company or the shareholder of the Post Bank. and because of the challenges that the post office had, was going through that time, but to be explicit, because that time also there was an issue of the amount of about 25 million that the post office transferred from the post bank to itself. So the Reserve Bank raised concerns that if this happens, then it means even in the future, therefore, they can't allow that the post office be the shareholder of the post bank. They therefore proposed that let it be the Treasury or the Department. And then a decision was taken by the former Ministers of Finance and the former Minister of Telecommunications that then instead of Treasury, it's going to be the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. Of course, upon appointment in November, I had no reason to change the decisions that were taken as reasons as I was given the handover report, and it made sense if there are things that the Reserve Bank is uncomfortable with. And as I said, this was the decision taken outside because initially the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services was in agreement with Post Office to say Post Office be the shareholder. But then upon presentation, then the Reserve Bank, they said no, it can be, and then the ministers agreed to that. So as we've been engaging, and then came a meeting once more where we're engaging with the entity itself, SAPO and Postbank, wanting progress on certain things. And we then discovered in the meeting when the board members were making the presentation that it's like we're still presenting the different options. And of course the minister sought clarity, are we reopening the discussion now because I hear you members making other options? And this is the information that is at my disposal. And indeed it was confirmed that that was the decision that was taken, but apparently there was some information that we were supposed to submit as a department that we failed to submit, but a decision was communicated that the department would be the shareholder. And then we re-emphasized that we still stand by that decision. I hear, as I'm saying, I do not have evidence of this, but I hear as I watch the news that one of the key reason is because the former CEO believes that he has no reason to be at SAPO anymore if his strategy is then put aside, because his strategy was made an integrated strategy that was taking into consideration the post office being the shareholder of the post bank. As I move away from that, I said I'll just talk to the issues that are in the eyes of the public. Another one, honourable members, as we made a presentation in the last, okay, not the last one, but in the other time that we appeared before committee, where we were giving update with SABC in terms of the work that we have done, we had, as we reported, we had contracted the services of the GTEC, which is a technical team under SABC, under Treasury, to assist SABC. SABC has had developed their turnaround strategy. But the issue with the turnaround strategy, if you are looking for investors or funding, it must not talk to yourself as the person as you own it. It has to talk to the funder, and therefore you've got to make sure that you satisfy the requirements by the funder. So once more, as we took over again, we were tasked with that mandate of ensuring that we provide resources for the GTEC. We allocated a sum of 10 million, I'm not sure, or 5 million. The team, we will talk to that, to make sure that the technical team assists SABC in meeting the Treasury requirements as stipulated. Treasury then wrote to us to say these are the things that SABC must meet, and of course we added, because Treasury says we've got to make sure that the shareholder, which is their department, commits to this plan and the obligations that indeed these obligations that we want must be met. So we outline the things that the Treasury must meet. We will avail, if there's a need, we'll avail those obligations both from the Department and Treasury to the Honourable Members if Honourable Members want to have access to them. And indeed we've been receiving reports of the progress SABC submitted. If you remember once more, Honourable Members, during our budget vote speech, I did put 10 days that the amount, the first tranche, will be available provided SABC meet the requirements that have been set aside. And then I said in the next, which was going to be September, if I'm correct, and then the entire amount, but provided. The Minister of Finance reiterated that indeed there's going to be funding for SABC if they meet the obligation. So the teams have been working on that. We received a report from the GTEC, and we interrogated the report, and SABC gave us the report. Well, GTEC is assisting the SABC team, not us. They're not developing the turnaround strategy, but they're assisting them technically to say, look at this area as per what the Treasury requires. So we got the information and the feedback, and SABC made a submission. We analyzed the document. We highlighted gaps in it, and the Treasury did the same. Unfortunately or fortunately, we agreed with the Treasury on the gaps, that these are the issues that SABC has not responded adequately to. And those were sent to SABC. On the 27th of August, honorable members, myself and the Minister of Finance co-signed a letter going to SABC updating them of the process of bailout, that these are the issues, as we have said, these are the issues, we are satisfied with this obligation, this one, this is where it's lacking, look into ABCD again, I can avail the letter if there's a need, and we send it to the board, to the chairperson, to say look into these things. Yesterday, honourable members, we are pleased to say we received a letter from the Minister of Finance, who informed us that as we did the appropriation in Parliament, the sum of 3.2 billion has been made available for SABC, but it has to follow all those processes that we stipulated. And as we had said, that is going to be released in tranches. It's still going to be the same, and they still insist that myself, or which is the shareholder, and SABC must then commit to meeting the obligations and outline. So that's the communication that we'll be sending to say how do we move. As I said, we've already sent the information that is required from SABC. Once we receive that again and we send it to Treasury, then Treasury will start to release the money as committed to. Once more, honourable members, as I said, we're here to give account of the work that we're doing on the Department of Telecommunications and Postal side. We're pleased to report that we have achieved about 95% of the targets that we committed to the people of South Africa. The 5% that we're talking about is in relation to one of the key programs that are run by the department, which is connecting the unconnected, or the SA broadband plan that we're talking about. There, although we had all the other components, because it is a program that requires involvement of three parties, and one of the three parties is CETA, which is in this case is the one that has delayed because of the challenges that CETA has been facing, as you have had previously. But then they had made a commitment that before the end of this financial year, of this quarter, they would have addressed all of those targets that they did not meet, including the second quarter targets. That's just that, but everything that we committed to, we spoke about the review of legislations, the bills are on the process, we spoke about the reconfiguration of the department, which is supposed to be finalized by the 31st of March, so that come 1st April, we are the new department that it is, and the DG will get into the detail in terms of how far have we gone, as there are established structures to look into that. The entities that we have, of course, under the DTPS, as we know, all of them have performed. There are few challenges here and there, but most of them have performed, and the DG will dwell into those. The ADG communications, again, there, honourable members, that's where we've experienced a challenge. The department has achieved 50% of the set targets. The reason being the major work of the department relies on the rollout of the digital migration program. This is the DTT, as we presented, honourable members, that does not have enough funding, as we reported, that currently we have a budget of 120 million over 3 years, while the project requires 3.8 billion. We had since then requested Cabinet to give us an opportunity. We're engaging with the industry to say how fast can we try to do, and what resources can the industry try to provide to us so that you can fast-track the process. The reason, once more, Chairperson, that this is a very crucial project, you will remember that in the eyes of the public, everybody has been talking about the spectrum that the department is really delaying to allocate. And therefore, failure to switch off on the digital migration will then lead to the limited availability of the spectrum that is out there, and therefore the operators that are going to be going for buying the spectrum need assurance that at least they know it's going to take a year, it's going to take a 6 months to to make sure that the DTT, there's a switch over so that spectrum is availed. That's why we said after the issuing of the policy directive, the minister held engagements with the different CEOs of the industry to say, please best advise, because it's in both in our interest to make sure that we release the spectrum. And as I said, the teams are then working on a solution to say, this is how we can come together as the industry and the department to fast-track the process. Once that work is finalized, we'll be able to report to Parliament with certainty to say, indeed, it's going to be 8 months, and this is the actual plan that we would embark on. We have two extra entities, honorable members, that previously belonged to the Department of Communications, namely the Brand SA and MDDA, which were now taken to the presidency. We will be making a report on the work that they are doing because the monies have not been transferred to the new department. So we're still providing oversight on the financial expenditure. But unfortunately, one thing that we can do is to hold them accountable on the performance. But because the finances still reside with us, what we had agreed on is that we're going to have engagements with the minister responsible, which is Minister Mtembu, to make sure that what we are given this side balances and also to monitor their spend, because we will take responsibility as the department. With your permission, Chairperson, I would like to invite the DG of Telecommunications and Postal Services to talk to the presentation of the department. Thank you. Just Chairperson, one important thing the DG is reminding me about. You may have seen on social media and listened on radio about the incident that has hit us at the post office, wherein one of our employees is said to have killed a young woman, Nene Mkwejana, coming from the Eastern Cape. We have been in touch with the family. Of course, we had directed the post office to make sure that they investigate how the employee was employed without undergoing security clearance, because we have discovered that there is two other convictions that the employee has by his side. So these are the things that we're saying we need to pay attention to, simply because the post office is a national key point. The post office deals with sensitive information of knowing each and everyone's household in terms of the addresses. Now, failure to make sure that the employees there are people that can protect the information of the post office, and therefore when they protect the information, they're protecting the owners of the information, then result to us being a reckless department. And this is something that the COO has already indicated that they've started doing it, and apparently the employee concerned was hired during that time of the labor brokers, and there was no vetting that was done by that time. But we have requested that the COO also engages with the unions to say all employees must be vetted so that we are alert to such. But we would like just now, as Minister and DM, as women, we would like to call upon the honorable members to also make their voice heard on this social ill that has been dominating in the public arena, that women are no longer afraid to be women, that we're not safe from our own men. But most importantly, it can be just, we do respect, of course, our justice and everything that is in our country, but it can be the expense of the victims. Because in most cases, these perpetrators are people who afford to pay for legal, and once they're able to pay for legal, it depends on what the court is going to do. So we want to really call for harsher actions against such perpetrators. We cannot survive and live in the same place with the people who do not respect our right to life. We just wanted to talk to that. And as I said, we will be visiting the family. Unfortunately, the father is leaving for Eastern Cape today. We're supposed to visit at 11. So we won't be visiting Cape Town. So we'll try to reach out to the family in the Eastern Cape. We have sent condolences to the family and to the school. And for that, honorable members, we really take responsibility for failing to undertake certain things that, as members of a caring government, indeed we showcase that indeed we care. Thank you, honorable chair.
Thanks, Chairperson, Minister, dear honorable members. Chair, as we did last time, we'll not introduce the entire team. I'll just introduce colleagues as I ask them to respond to questions, and the ADG will do the same, so for the sake of time. As it has been indicated, we are presenting the quarter one report of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Now, on the second slide, there is the overview of the presentation, which includes vision, mission, and values, program performance, financial performance, and the high-level performance of entities. Now, Chairperson, while still at this slide, it's very important to emphasize that when you look at the presentation of the department, you realize that on the department side is mainly policy and oversight responsibility that we carry. But then on the side of the entities, that's where we talk about the delivery that South Africans experience on a daily basis. So presenting in this way is quite helpful, and we must thank the committee for asking us to also include an overview of the performance of the entity, because that then gives the true picture of what is happening in the portfolio. So we're quite grateful for that. Now, this slide deals with the vision, mission, and the values of the department, and I need to indicate that this pertains to the department as it currently stands, and it was reported previously that we are moving to the new department, and we are also beginning to work on a new vision, mission of the new department, and at a later stage, that will also be implemented, that will also be shared with the committee. Now, with regard to the overview of the performance, and as it has been indicated, we achieved 95% of our targets. We have 21 targets, and 20 targets were met. But, Chair, I need to emphasize, as the Minister has already done, that we don't downplay the fact that it's only one target that has not been met, because that's a very important target. So we take into cognizance that we have not met one of the key targets, and this target deals with the rollout of broadband in the form of AC Connect, where we are supposed to connect government sites, and in particular schools, hospitals, and police stations. So this is a very big deal for us that we have not met this target. And Minister has already indicated the circumstances around that, and I'll speak briefly on the mitigations that we have put in place to ensure that this target of all targets is met. Now, in terms of the significant achievements, just an overview, the reconfiguration of the department and some of the entities. We have established the institutional mechanism, including the working groups internally, to achieve this. Preparations for the World Radio Conference also ongoing. And last week, we successfully hosted about 37 countries that came to our shores in East London to plan. These were African countries that came to South Africa to plan for the World Radio Conference that will take place at the end of October to the end of November. ICT SMME development strategy, we have been making progress, albeit with limited resources. The corporatization of the Post Bank, also we have been making strides. And progress also has also been registered in the preparations for the establishment of the new IT company and the new IT infrastructure company, work on cyber security, and also the preparations for the BRICS ministers meeting, which took place this quarter. Now, Chair, I've dealt with this part on slide 6, that we did not meet the target pertaining to broadband, and I'll touch on it again. Now, in terms of the specific deliverables of the department, I'll refer to the quarterly targets as well as the actual performance of the department. The first one deals with the monitoring of budget, which we have done, and the last meeting took place on 18 June 2019. We have to continuously monitor the use of public resources. So the department has established the necessary systems to ensure that that is done, and is done well in accordance with the rules as set out in the PFMA and other instruments. The next target relates to implementation of the approved 2019-2020 procurement plan. We always do this, Chairperson, and from time to time, when we change the procurement plan, we inform National Treasurer. So it's very important for us to monitor the implementation of the procurement plan of the department, and if there are changes, then accordingly notify or inform National Treasurer. The other area of work of the department on the administration side is on risk management. We do have a risk register, and from time to time, we monitor risk pertaining to the administration of the organization, finances, but also the performance of the organization. So that also has been achieved. We are on track in terms of risk management of the work of the department. We also develop risk mitigation tools that are assessed from time to time. Now, Chairperson, this is also validated by the audit committee, the external auditors. So from time to time, whenever there is an audit committee meeting, we present on risk management of the organization. So we are satisfied that even from the point of view of the external auditors, we are on track in terms of doing what we are supposed to do. The workplace skills plan also was developed and approved by myself. And from time to time, we also continue with the monitoring of the implementation of the skills plan, which is an internal plan of the department. Now, in terms of the programs, the first one is international. Now, in terms of this international work, I need to overemphasize that the nature of this work is international. The nature of radio communications and postal services is international, that you can't as a country stay out of the international arena and say we'll work on our own, because it, in its very nature, is international. And this explains why the International Telecommunications Union is the oldest of all UN agencies, formed in the 1890s. So this was the first sector to come with an organization of that nature. So you'll appreciate, honorable members, when from time to time we travel and attend to international activities. Now, this quarter target speaks to proposal developed on opportunities for South Africa to support capacity building, training skills, and innovation for IR. We have to do this because we do have partners such as BRICS countries that are more advanced than we are, and from time to time we enter into agreements with those countries to see how we can tap on their own capabilities, especially when it comes to training. The second point relates to the position paper on in preparation for the BRICS ministers meeting that the minister led the South African delegation recently to Brazil, where we participated in the BRICS ministers meeting. Now, this is a very big deal for us because BRICS countries offer us that kind of a framework of a development path from a developing country perspective. So we attended the meeting and everything went very well. And the declaration, similar to that of the G20, was quite progressive in our view, and it accommodated quite a lot of things that we suggested ourselves. We went to the BRICS ministers meeting accompanied by some of our SOCs and the private sector, because we take a business delegation with whenever we go to BRICS meetings. So that was also done. And now on consultation with regard to the World Radio Conference, so far, we have been consulting with SADC countries, so the 16 member SADC community. That is very crucial for us as we seek to inform the African agenda. So two meetings took place that we attended as South Africa. Then moving to policy, the area of SMMEs, we continue to support SMMEs, and this is going to be a very big issue for us going forward. So far, we have been lagging on the funding side, and obviously we'll seek the Parliament to also support us in the kind of endeavors that we're thinking about to support SMMEs. One thing that we've done, Chairperson, as a department, we supported .Zetna, one of our agencies, to go and train many young people in the eight districts, the eight priority districts, to establish internet service provisioning. So we want them to be ISPs in those areas. And what we'll then do, now that we are establishing these internet service providers, we will also talk to our entities. In fact, we've started to do that, to like broadband infraco, to give them a discount when it comes to accessing the infrastructure of our own entities, so that these small companies can be competitive. So those are the kind of interventions that we're grappling with in the absence of funding. And at a later stage, we'll speak to the Digital Development Fund, which will assist us in dealing with the funding challenges facing this sector. Chairperson, if I can belabor this point, you'll find that in the current funding instruments that exist in the country, there is no funding for software kind of innovations. you know, the existing funding mechanisms tend to focus on infrastructure in a fiscal sense. So that disadvantages our industry, and this one issue that we'll deal with going forward. Then the e-government issue with respect to smart communities, this is a very important issue for us. Earlier on, we made reference to connectivity, but connectivity is not an end on its own. It's the beginning. There is a lot that we need to do around smart communities. So work has started between ourselves, involving ourselves, DBSA and SALGA, to create a framework for South Africa on what we mean by smart communities in our own context. So that work is ongoing. The National Digital Skills Strategy has been developed by the department. We went to two clusters of DGs, that's the social cluster and the economic cluster, and we have been given a go-ahead to go to cabinet and submit this comprehensive skills strategy. Now, Chair, we also had a bilateral with the DG of Higher Education and his team, and it was very important to emphasize that this strategy was led by us and not by them. And that helps in the sense that we bring on board the industry perspective on the skills requirements for the sector. So that has been approved by the DGs and is on its way to cabinet. On the entities, we monitor the performance of the entities. We have 7 entities. We have received the reports from all the entities, the first quarter reports from the entities. We have analyzed them, and they are en route to the minister for consideration. Then, with respect to the corporatization of the Post Bank, the point that minister dealt with earlier on, we have finalized the transfer of assets. That's very important for us to know which assets belong to the Post Bank and which assets belong to the Post Office. And at this point in time, we are dealing with, we are facilitating, in fact, engagement between the two parties to ensure that there is a comprehensive agreement of ensuring that they continue to share facilities and pay each other as it becomes necessary to do so. Then on the state IT company bill, the target for the whole year is to submit the bill to cabinet. So what we have done now, we have engaged with National Treasury and DPSA to solicit their inputs before we can process this through the clusters of DGs. Now, this is a very big deliverable for the department, and I'll touch on it quite briefly when I deal with the entities. The next area relates to the work that we're doing to establish the infrastructure company formed of the measure of Centec and Broadband Infraco. So that work is ongoing, and we have been directed that as we do so, we need to make sure that other state entities that play in broadband are also coordinated as part of this exercise. It may not necessarily mean that all of them form part of the state ICT infrastructure company, but government's intervention in the ICT sector need to be consolidated and coordinated efficiently. We have reported in chapters, and we need to overemphasize the point that we are not happy that we have not met the target that relates to the connection of schools. You know, if we can't connect schools, then it means we are challenged as the department, and I need to assure you that we will still meet this target, and we're even doing more work here to improve coordination, first within the portfolio itself, but also with other entities outside of the department, including provinces. We also deal with matters related to rapid deployment, still on slide 15. This is a very important tool for us to know who is doing what in South Africa with regard to broadband. And this will also help us to troubleshoot where there are challenges, in particular where challenges are experienced when companies seek approvals from municipalities. We always face delays in some municipalities. The costs are high, making it very difficult for the companies to invest in infrastructure. So we will attend to that. We focus on the operations of the cybersecurity hub, which from time to time we monitor, and I think at some point, Minister will have a dedicated discussion on cybersecurity, including the legislative framework, which will come back to Parliament and to the committee and present on how we see the evolution of cybersecurity and the role of this portfolio vis-a-vis the security services and the work that we need to do on our side. Back on the World Radio Conference, we have developed the position paper, which was a preliminary work that we had to do on our own, you know, as we engage with other countries, particularly in the region and on the continent. Now, what's going to happen, we will go to cabinet to seek approval, because the decisions that are taken by the World Radio Communications Conference and the Radio Communications Assembly are in the form of a treaty that the minister signs. So if the minister is going to be signing a treaty, obviously we need to seek cabinet approval. Now, once that is done and the conference is concluded, we will come back to the committee where we require ratification of the international instruments pertaining to radio regulations. Now, I'll ask the CFO, Joy Masemola, to go through the financial information of the department, and then I'll come back on the entities.
Thank you, Chair. I will take you through the financial information of the department. On slide 18, the 2019 MTEF baseline, based on the 2018 baseline, there was an increase of 64% in 2019-20 financial year from the 1 billion to the 1.6 billion that was allocated to the department. The main increase there, it was the additional funds that were allocated to SAPO, the 474 million for the USOs, and to CENTEC, 192 million for the DTT project. You will notice that the cost of employees is 241 million for the 2019-20 financial year. In the next slide, the funds that are earmarked for the SA Connect project for the 19-20 financial year is 174 million, and then the year after 184 million, and the other year 194 million. And the other funds, as I have alluded to. Okay, on the next slide, expenditure per program. Of the budget of 1.6 billion that we have been allocated, in quarter one, the expenditure is sitting at 26.2%. And all other programs are on, their spending is on par. However, the international affairs and trade spending is sitting at 62%, mainly because of the international membership fees that were all paid in the first quarter. And also there were two court order. There was, in fact, one court order of 26 million that was settled in the first quarter, and also another settlement agreement that was entered into amounting to 3 million that was paid in the first quarter. When we look at the expenditure per economic classification, the compensation of employees is sitting at 22.4%, mainly because of the underspending due to posts that were not filled during that period. And in goods and services, there's an underspending of in this economic classification, 7.6%, that the expenditure, this is mainly due to the expenditure in the SA Connect broadband. In the previous financial year, there's an advance that was paid to BBI and CETA to undertake the project. So the invoices that are being received currently are being set off against that an advance. So the allocation of this financial year, it will be used once the advance has been exhausted. And then I've spoken to the transfers and subsidies. It's sitting at 34%, mainly due to the international membership fees and also the settlements that were made. And we're hoping that we will also catch up in the capital assets, the slow spending there, sitting at 5%. When we look at the transfers, we are sitting at 32%. This is including the international membership fees. However, transfers that were made to the entities are as follows. To NEMISA, transfers amounting to 25% have been made, and then to USASA, 28%, and to CENTEC for the dual illumination, 26% has been made of the transfers, and then to CENTEC for the migration of digital signals, we have paid all of that money, and for USAF operations, we have paid 27% of the transfers allocated, and then to USAF for the broadcasting digital migration project, 25% has been paid, and to SAPO, 25% of the allocation has been made. And as I've indicated, in the international membership fees amounting to 30 million were paid during the first quarter. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, CFO. Now we'll go to the entity matters. Just one issue that the CFO raised, that we transferred about 400 million to SAPO with regard to the universal service obligations. Now we had to go back to Treasury to seek funding for SAPO to support post offices that are not profitable. So we have been given money over a 3-year period. So this 400 million speaks to that, and the USO stands for Universal Service Obligations. Now, in terms of the entities, the first entity is Broadband Infraco, which has done fairly well, achieving 89% of its target. That is 17 out of 19 targets. The revenue performance has also been very good. That the total revenue for the first quarter improved by 22%. When compared to the same period last year. But we note, Chairperson, that the company has not succeeded in opening new areas to sign new sales, because in the main, the performance of the company is assisted by the work that we have given to them, that is SA Connect broadband project. But we still expect the company to go out there and get new businesses, and the department has facilitated cooperation between this entity and CENTEC to maximize the broadband opportunities. So we'll continue to follow up on that and support the entity to increase its business offerings. Now, that is overall with respect to this entity. I'll move to the next entity in lieu of time. Now, the next entity, Chairperson, on slide 29 will be CETA, the overall performance of CETA. CETA had 8 targets, and only 4 targets were met by the entity, which is obviously not a very good thing. Considering the fact that CETA, unlike other entities, has a captive business, CETA doesn't have to go around like others and look for businesses, because it is an exclusive domain of CETA to provide services to government, both national and a provincial government. So, Chair, this is a matter of a concern that we're going to be focusing on. According to the company, this is due to service level agreements that were not signed and poor performance on targets relating to procurement and industry were not achieved. Now, there are procurement challenges that the entity has experienced over the years, and that is the matter that the board and ourselves are faced with to ensure that there is improvement on that score with respect to CETA. And overall, the performance of the management of CETA is a matter that the board is dealing with, Chairperson. Now, you will see on slide 31, the first bullet there, that CETA missed its quarter one budgeted revenue target because of SAPS, Department of Defense, and others not paying for services rendered. Now, this is a very big deal because SAPS and the Department of Defense are the biggest clients of CETA. So if there is no payment from these entities, Chairperson, we're likely to obviously experience challenges from the revenue point of view, because this constitutes the bulk of the of CETA's revenue. We are attending to these matters of CETA and the government departments. For example, yesterday, we met with the Department of Environmental Affairs to unlock another opportunity that has been pending for some time. And next week we are meeting with the National Commissioner and the Chief of the Defence Force to discuss, amongst others, this kind of issues, facilitated by the department to assist CEDA and these departments to find their way out, Chairperson. So this will be CEDA overall. I will go to the next one, which is NEMISA. NEMISA achieved all its targets, and we continue to have serious interest in this entity. As I've indicated, that we are finalizing the national skills strategy, and this entity is going to play a very big role. It's very small, but the role that it's going to be playing is obviously going to grow over time. And NEMISA is also involved in partnerships that are facilitated by the ministry in particular, to work with other entities outside of government to accelerate skills development. So overall, as I've indicated, the entity has done well. It's working with universities in the form of what we call collabs, and the details are presented there, Chairperson. I'm asked to move to USASA. USASA in this quarter did very well in meeting its own targets. And these are mainly around operational efficiencies, you know, building operational efficiencies. I'm on slide 42. So this entity has done well on this, but we are obviously mindful of some governance challenges within the entity, and also challenges related to the rollout of broadband, which we are beginning to deal with as a department in support of the entity. So overall, there has been some improvement, Chair, in terms of its own operational efficiencies just for this quarter under review. We just seconded one of our chief directors to be acting CEO at USASA, which means now we have a second person, minister, who is acting out of the department. Another person is still acting as CEO of a broadband, of Brand SA. You know, it's a way of making interventions to support the entities whenever there are urgent challenges that require our input. So that's what we are doing with USASA. And the minister has indicated that we are going to repurpose this entity with the establishment of the Digital Development Fund. So we are paying attention, serious attention to this entity. The other one is .Zedna. I indicated that the department has supported .Zedna using its own finances to train young people to establish internet services in the 8 districts. This work is ongoing, and we're bringing more of our entities to support those ISPs, and we hope the private sector will also come to the party to support this entity. We are on the verge of finalizing the appointment of the board of the entity, Chairperson, so that is also on track. Moving on to SAPO. SAPO is still challenged from a revenue point of view, and this is a very big area of concern for us. I'm on slide 53. Now, when you look at the second bullet point there, we say that revenue is still mainly driven by mail revenue, which constitute about 50%, while SASA project revenue contribute 20%. Now, Chairperson, if we were to stay on this trajectory, if things were to remain constant for the next 3 years, and SAPO still rely on mail for 50% of its income, then we have a big problem. We need to then attend to this issue. Now, we reported previously to the committee that SAPO should move to e-commerce, and the department has done everything possible, including liaising with international organizations to help SAPO to roll out electronic commerce, believing that that would then open a new revenue stream for SAPO, because this 50% reliant on mail is just not sustainable. So we have to change course as a matter of agency. We are assisting SAPO with other opportunities. We recently facilitated engagement with the Home Affairs to see if we can get more businesses, including the distribution of passports. So the department is working with SAPO to assist the diversification of that. But it will also require SAPO to invest money into new innovations. And that is a matter that we are seized with in our engagement with SAPO. But to overemphasize that the revenue strength of SAPO, if it stays like this, it will not work over a period of time. So we need to do quite a lot on this. So
keep just and take.
Oh, same thing, because they are doing well, I guess. Okay, but I think I need to speak briefly on this. As things stand, Chairperson, Sentech is doing well. But we have noted challenges in that Sentech relies mainly on the SABC for revenue. Now, even if the SABC is adequately capitalized, as we move to the digital technologies, the revenue of Sentech is going to decline. Community radio stations have not been paying for their services, and now it's going to a tune of $20 million that Sentech is owed by community radio stations across the country. So overall, you will argue that broadcasting is becoming a sunset business for Sentech, and what we're doing in this regard, we are spearheading the following to assist Sentech, the satellite project of Sentech, which we'll also discuss with the departments that we are meeting next week so that we can speed up this process. We have engaged with BRICS countries to see who's doing what in that space so that we can capitalize on the experiences of others. We have asked Sentech to develop a proposal on the cross-border management solution for South Africa using satellite. There's been work by other departments to establish a cross-border management agency, and we are putting a proposal on behalf of Sentech to see if we can also use satellite to monitor South African borders. And we're starting discussions also with the weather services to see the role that Sentech can play in the management of the radar. So that is also a matter that the department is dealing with. Chairperson, I'll delegate upward with the last point that relates to the radio frequency spectrum licensing. I'll delegate upward.
Minister, whatever it says.
Thank you, Chair. Just the last point DG mentioned, honourable members will remember that we issued a policy directive and we have engaged with the CEOs of the industry as I mentioned earlier. We are now waiting for the regulator to kickstart the process. We had written to them to say we're requesting the presentation of their plan so that we can give certainty to the industry that this is how long it's going to take, and then they undergo their processes as it is a responsibility of the regulator to allocate it. But the processes must not be delayed anymore. So we are waiting for the regulator that responded by saying they're still considering the policy directive, and up to date there's still nothing that we have received. We just wanted to talk to that so that members may not think that we are relaxed, we're not following up on that. Thank you, Chairperson. And that's the end of the presentation on DTPS. I would like, with your permission, Chairperson, invite the Acting Director General of Department of Communications to take us through. Thank you.
Acting DG. Okay.
We're just trying to get the presentation slided.
May I, Chair?
You can proceed.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and everyone present. My name is Nomvuyiso Bhatyi, Acting Director General Communications. Going to go through the presentation for quarter one performance for the Department of Communications. This is on slide 2, which is your presentation overview, which is similar to the one that was just tabled, just talks to the vision and mission values, the 2019-20 quarter one performance, the period 2019-2020 quarter one financial performance and the performance of the entities. The DOC still has these vision, mission and mandate. You will notice that in these three, actually we still talk to the positive image of South Africa, which includes Brand SA, and even on mission, we are talking about print media and brand the country locally and internationally. These have been moved to the presidency. Then the next slide is on quarter one performance. Up until 30 June 2019, the first quarter, the department had 14 targets. Out of those 14 targets achieved, only seven were not achieved. So I am going to go through program by program. You would note that the only program that has achieved all of its targets is program two. Program one is corporate services. Corporate services had a human resource development strategy that was supposed to be implemented as an annual target. For the quarter, it was supposed to submit the work skills plan, which was submitted, so there is no reason for deviation there and no corrective action is required. And the program on approved work skills plan and quarterly implementation reports developed, these were done and submitted in the training report to PCTA, and there's no deviation recorded. So on the next one, it will be the reconfigured department to deliver its mandate. We are part of the NMOG process as well, being reconfigured. All the targets for the quarter and the work streams were established between ourselves and DTPS in line with the requirements of NMOG. The strategic risk register was updated and it was compiled and presented to the risk management and ARC committee structures for approval. So on program one, one of the targets that have not been met is the payment of 100% of payment of invoices within 30 days. The explanation for this target not being met is that there was a system error in capturing some of the invoices. These are your the invoices that pertain to a cell phone service provider. Those are the remaining one. But as of yesterday, the backlog has been uncovered. It was just the system could not capture these invoices with one specific service provider. Then the next one, it was the procurement plan developed and monitored according to departmental priorities. The procurement plan was submitted to National Treasury. However, the activities of the procurement plan that were carried in quarter one were not developed and were not done accordingly. And as a result of that, this target was not met, and there was no procurement that was done even in quarter one. However, they were advised that the request for quotation should actually be included. We did 29 of them for the quarter one. On four strategic risk mitigation reports compiled for the quarter, we're required to do one strategic risk mitigation report, which was supposed to be finalized, and in line with the previous quarter, which was quarter four of 2018-19, and this report was actually changed, and there was no report that was tabled before the Audit and Risk Committee. So this actually resource for risk, we are also sharing it with DTPS because we do not have a resource. Program two is the program that has met all of its targets. So this is about communication, policy, research, and development. In this area, we are, as the department, we have the responsibility of ensuring that the PMO for the 4IR is capacitated. We have to ensure that there is a broadcasting amendment bill that is developed. So for the period, you would have noticed that on slide 11 that the PMO was established. Now what we require is to capacitate that PMO. Adverts will be going out no later than this week for the PMO capacity. The Broadcasting Amendment Act, there were no planned activities for quarter one. However, as a department, we are finalizing the drafting of the bill for this current quarter. So program three is one, is the program that we are having serious challenges with respect to implementation. This is around broadcasting digital migration, which is one of the key deliverables for the department. The process is underway that the department is actually reviewing that model. We are actually doing consumer awareness and campaigns around all in provinces, especially in the Free State. As of last week, Friday, Chair, Honourable Members, we signed an MOU with the Department of COCTA last Friday, just to ensure that we are able to fast track this program. So on the analog signal switch off in the identified provinces, the quarterly targets that we're supposed to have reached was revised analog signal switch off, which is the ASO plan developed for early release of the digital dividend spectrum. This revised analog switch off plan was not finalized. We are still finalizing it, and the report will be produced during this quarter and submitted through the internal processes. On the consumer awareness program, this is one of the issues that we highlighted in the previous financial year by the Auditor General, that we have actually put this indicator that we have no control over, and it is impacting us on the technical indicator descriptors, which is what is called the TIDs there, because the education awareness plan has so many dependencies of things that are outside the control of the actual department. As a result, this is one of the APP targets that we've been advised to revise, emanating from the previous financial year. Still on this on program three, industry and capacity development, this is the one that we're supposed to do, enterprise development, SMMEs. We are actually in this program, we are actually partnering, conducted a sessions with the Small Enterprise Development Agency. We've consulted with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture and other, like for instance, DTI and small businesses, because we want to have a SMME development strategy for the creative industry in one area. So that consultation has happened. As a result, you would see that when it says implementation of the audiovisual program focusing on 4IR skills and enterprise development, this actual performance for the quarterly target, which is the actual visual SMME program developed, that target has not met, because we want to have an overarching, as I explained, an overarching program that talks to all the interested parties in the audiovisual space, which is the other government departments that I've mentioned. So we are currently engaging with those departments, and that will be met during this quarter. So this one, we are doing it jointly with the TPS on the South African position paper for the World Radio Conference 2019. Our focus as DOC will be mainly ensuring that broadcasters are actually still enjoying the protection around spectrum issues in during the World Radio Conference. So that is our target there, and we have met that target. So in entity oversight, I must hasten to add, entity oversight has actually greatly improved compared to previous years. This was even commended even by the AG in terms of how we are able to close the loop. You will see there is one target that has not been met. It's actually on the reports that that needs to be developed. So on this one, we are required as part of the annual targets to do 12 performance reviews and monitoring reports for the SOEs that are under us, which are for the annual period. Then for this period, it's only three, which is the FPB, ICASA, and the SABC. So those three were developed, and we actually sent through the internal processes. So what we have as part of the entity oversight, something that we called quarterly performance review sessions. These sessions were held. So each and every quarter, you're supposed to have these sessions with the entities. However, the part that was not done was the report after the session. So So you have to say after the session, what did you learn from those sessions? What are the things that need to be improved moving forward? So that is the part that has been developed to ensure that the loop gets closed. So the reports themselves have not been developed. I will ask Mr. Frick Niemann to actually take us through the financial information. Then I'll come back with entity oversight.
Thank you, Chairperson. Like DG has indicated, my name is Frick Niemann with the other D, otherwise I would be nobody. I'll be taking you through the financial performance of the first quarter. My responsibility would be slides 20 to 25. On the first two slides, it's just to give an indication of the budget allocation of the department over the MTF, 1990-20 to 21-22. If you can see there, the total allocation for the department in 2019-2020 is 1.5 billion for the first year, and then it goes to 1.6 billion in the second year, and then 1.7 billion in the LTM. I would want to focus on the economic classification down there. Current payments, 143 million, and that is basically what is allocated to the department to spend. And if you go down transfer and subsidies, 1.4 billion, that is what is transferred to the entities of the department. As the minister has indicated, there are still three entities under our budget, which is GCIS, Brand SA, and the MDDA, and they will move to the presidency with effect from 1 April 2020. So in the next year, they will no longer form part of our vote. If I can go to the next slide. These are the entities that report under the portfolio of the Ministry of Communications. SABC, MDDA, Brand SA, Government Communications, ICASA, and Prince Publication Board. And you can see that the bulk of the money gets allocated to those entities. Next slide, slide 22. This slide actually gives you a broad overview of the financial performance of the department. On program one, we have achieved a 20.4% spend. Program two, 10.8% spend. And I think the reason why they are spending so low is because their operations are mainly planned for the second and the third quarter. So you'll see a steep increase coming to the second and the third quarter presentations. On program three, the total budget is 47 million. They have achieved a 13.2% spend, and this is basically where the DTC project is situated. They are, as the minister has indicated in the budget speech, they are looking at the new model. And I'm sure that if you go look at the second and the third quarter, there will be an increase in the spend. Then on program four, they have achieved a 22.4% spend. Per economic classification, compensation of employees, we have achieved 18.1%, that is because of the moratorium that was placed on the filling of positions, and that has since been lifted by Minister, so and some of the positions have already been advertised. So come third quarter, I think there will be an increase in the percentage, so it will be closer to benchmark. On goods and services, we have achieved 12.5%, and once again, because of the low spending of the DTT project. Transfer and subsidies, 22.5%. And then machinery and equipment, we have achieved 41.47%. So overall, we have achieved a 21.9% vis-a-vis a benchmark of a 25%. So we are basically 3.1% below par. On the next slide, on this slide, the next two slides, I think we have done it per program, per economic classification, just to illustrate per program what is the financial performance. On program one, we have achieved an overall performance of 20.4%. On program two, 10.8%. And program three, on slide 25, we have achieved 13% in program three. And like I said, this is on the DTT project. And program four, we have achieved a 22.4% spend. Then the last slide, just to illustrate the status of the entities And now we have done with the transfer of their payments, we have achieved 22%, and you can see there's no variance there, which means that whatever they have requested per quarter was transferred to the various entities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Just to round off, just on the performance of the entities, as already reported, MTDA and Brand SA are still entities that we're still looking at their performance, but we do not have quarterly performance review sessions with them as a sit-down. We're having all those five entities. So the SABC is reporting that it has achieved 53% of their key targets as of the first quarter, and they are saying the reason for the deviation is for the underperformance is that they have cash flow challenges, which are contributing to this, and they have incurred losses of 192 million and recorded a bank balance of 116.7 million. That was first quarter, and at the time it was owing just under 2 billion when it came to service providers, and it addressed 90% of their HSA findings. Do not want to bore everyone with this slide, but this slide is just saying what we have and be doing with the SAPC around GTEC. I think Minister has spoken to that at length, but I can go back to that. As the second one, as well, the slide 29, this slide, Minister has spoken to it at length, that the letter was written to the SAPC, and that actually as of yesterday, there was confirmation that 3.2 billion will be made available to the SAPC. Then we move to a slide that has the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA. ICASA achieved 71% of key targets for the quarter and actually successfully monitored the 2019 national and provincial elections. It actually, the one of the things that it's saying that it's unable to meet their target fully is that it has been unable to appoint experts. It has been unable to appoint experts to support execution of critical projects such as in their engineering and technology division, and this compromises their successful delivery on projects. And actually it does note that it's currently undergoing another restructuring process. This is of concern to us because ICASA has been undergoing a number of restructuring processes, and so they are stating that critical positions have been occupied in acting capacities, and you would have seen this just last weekend. They advertised after the moratorium has been lifted, the GM for General Manager for, I think, Engineering and Technology and Chief Audit Executive, they've advertised those. The Minister had actually written to the National Assembly Speaker and actually noted that there's a vacancy in the ICASA Council that had arisen at that time. So for the first quarter, the revenue that ICASA was transferred to ICASA is the one that has already been reported by AFRIC, and the first quarter tranche allocation is at 90.5 million. So what we have advised the ICASA Council and the CEO is that they need to exercise extreme caution and stay within allocated funding, because we are keep getting requests for funding and ICASA is spending at a rate that is not sustainable, especially for the first quarter under review. Then the Film and Publication Board, which is the FPB, achieved 70% of its key targets for the first quarter, actually implemented the revised classification guidelines that were approved by Minister in February this year. Minister submitted to the Minister of Finance a revised tariff model for the Film and Publication Board for his concurrence. This has been done. Minister is currently waiting for the Film and Publication Bill to be signed off by the President, and the moratorium has been lifted to fill critical positions at the Film and Publication Board. The money that has been transferred to the Film and Publication Board is just under 25 million as a first tranche, and you will see that when we're looking at it in terms of the money that gets transferred to them, they look fairly healthy in their financial position. However, they have not managed to collect a cent on online registration fees against their projected annual budget of 6.4 million. This is of concern to us. Their cash balance is at 5.4 million, less the classification material submitted, and closing balances at a regular expenditure of just 898,000 and fruit less standing at 3.5 million rands. So MDDA, the disclaimer has already been made. This is according to what they have reported. They only had two targets in the first quarter and they achieved both of them. So that is 100% achievement, and no community radio or print media was funded during this period. That is of concern to us. Key targets delivered on monitoring of projects, conducted media literacy workshop. Those are the two things that they did in the main when it came to the fourth quarter. So the financial performance is as that the first tranche payment of 7.9 million from the department was done, and revenue received, including interest, was 9.7, budgeted to receive 17.3 million, and received additional 516,000 funding from broadcasters, such as your licensed broadcasters, actually put that amount of money in the first quarter. We are also, they were at the time, they're saying they are currently engaged in other media houses with the aim of lobbying industry contribution, especially print media has not been contributing. That is according to them. And MDDA is actually saying that they want to remain financially viable, and especially with the issue of lifting the moratorium for licensing community broadcasters by ICASA, this is one of the things that they are raising. We have not gone back to them to ask them how they intend to deal with it, because they report differently. So Brand SA key is their commitment, also in terms of their targets, 92% overall achievement. Just to note, their term of the board expired. The term of the board was advertised by the minister, Minister Tembo, and actually the submissions were 12th of August. The minister has actually made sure that there's a person at Brand SA as an acting CEO who was seconded there. We know that the CEO and the CEO is still undergoing a disciplinary process, and the CFO, it has been reported as we're sitting here, the actual CFO actually has been fired. So that is what is happening at the Brand SA. So this is the financial performance of the Brand SA, and I don't really... Just to us, it looks healthy. We have not really interrogated the figures with the Brand SA, but they have too many vacant positions as is currently stand. Thank you, Chairperson. I was trying my best to actually wrap up. This is where we stop as a department. Thank you. Thank you.
There's a typo that I want members just to be aware, and I'll be corrected by the CFO of DOC. If you look at slide 21, where it speaks about Broadcasting Corporation, the public broadcaster, it says for 1920, for public broadcaster, it's 123 million, and for program production, it's 14 million. On those same programs, as you go to slide 25, they put it vice versa. So the CFO can just correct so that when members engage, it's slide 25. You see, when you go there, then it says program production, 123, and public broadcaster, 14. So it put it vice versa. So when you go to the quarterly expenditure, then you see those projections. So I wanted members, as they engage on this thing, they read them correctly. But this also says we are giving the SABC its allocation as government, and they're not performing from a zero budget. The 3.2 is something else. This is their allocation. Annually.
Thanks for the clarity, Chair. Just to note that I have got an indication that the Minister may have to join an interministerial committee meeting that would sit. I think she'll give an indication when she leaves, but I would want to present the report to yourselves for engagement before she leaves. Can I then get honourable members to engage the reports Honorable Member Mulala, Honorable Van Dam, we've noted your apology. You are here now. Number two, Honorable McKenzie, you'll follow in that order. And then Majosi.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, let me first welcome the presentation by the department. And also say that the department at least have indicated that they have done quite well in terms of their presentation. However, there are still a few silent issues that I wanted to raise with the department. The first one is that every time the department comes to present a quarterly report, my advice would be it should always have the last financial year's quarter's report, so that we know what was happening in the last financial year, what were the challenges, and now what has changed now in terms of the new financial year. That would be my advice, so that when you say first quarter 2019-2020, you also indicate 2018-2019, so that we can flow properly. The other one is I can see that we are transferring quite a lot of money to entities. It might be little from other people's point of view, but from where I'm sitting, it's about 3 billion, 3.2 billion. Yes, thanks, Mr. Honorable McKenzie. 3.2 billion. But I don't see how those entities and government as well is not reporting on key government programs like job creation. How does this money that we allocate develop our people's skills so that we're not just sending money into entities because they are so-called state entities. We also make them account in terms of our key programs to say, are they creating jobs? Are they developing our people? How far are they? So that in terms of the performance of entities, we are also able to reflect on that. That's also one advice that I think should also be included, so that we know how far we are in terms of changing the economic scale in our country. We're not just sending money all over, but we are not able to say whether we are moving from where we are. the other issue that the minister, I think, clarified, I think the committee minister, maybe in the last committee meeting, you were not present, but the deputy minister was there. We had an extensive discussion around this post bank, where should it be located, and so on, in the committee, in the committee's view. And I think this is a matter that we need to further engage on. If one of the recommendations that we made was to also engage the portfolio committee on finance, yes, because there were two sort of contradicting debates that we held. But I don't want this committee today to go back to that debate. I'm just highlighting that so that the minister can also be aware that there's another process. and maybe on the CETA issue, the DG, acting DG, oh, sorry, correct me, acting DG. You are the DG. Yes, you are the DG, not acting. Okay. the DG, in his presentation, he mentioned the fact that CETA's exclusive domain is government. But seemingly they have a challenge with the government. Now, I don't know how then can we use the platform of the committee to ensure that those relevant departments takes responsibility. Because if we have a portfolio committee on a particular department that is giving challenge to CETA, so that we don't have this type of a report as a result of other departments that are not taking their responsibility. And maybe on the, I hope it's the last one, on ICASA. In terms of the finances, CFO, I don't know how then do we justify that ICASA has spent more than the revenue they have generated on the first quarter. I know the DDG said it's not sustainable, but she does not further say what are the measures. If they spend more than what they have created, it really is a red light. So the department should be saying what then is next. Or should we then, Chairperson, as a portfolio committee, also have a session with them so that we understand that you generate 105 million and then on the first quarter you spend 108 million. So that we understand why that, because if you don't generate 105 in the next quarter, it means you'll still spend more than 108. Logically, that's the conclusion I can arrive at. And the last point, I think, is on ICT SME development strategy. There's identified priority areas. Maybe if you can take us on board and why those identified priorities areas so that we can be in par with you, so that we know why you chose this. Is this because it's a rural area? Is it because of whatever reason? But I thought also this is an area which for me is very key, because it talks about development of our people on the ground. So I'm a bit worried about how the report is not that very good on ICT development. So maybe we need to work very hard on that one in future, in quarter two. I think the South Africa Connect, you said this is the area that you have not achieved. You had 570 sites, you managed to do, I mean, 470-something. Yeah. I also think that maybe just give us more information about this area. I don't need to ask a question, just give us more information so that maybe if I come on this, on the second round, I'm very clear on what you were presenting. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you, Minister and DM, for both being here. Much appreciated, and delegations from the department. I see we have a huge delegation. I'm not sure who it was, but some industry leader once said, if you come to a meeting and you don't say anything, you shouldn't be at that meeting in the first place. So I'm just putting that out there, where, as far as I understand it, our state is in a lot of trouble money-wise, and every cent we can save on airfares is a good thing. And MPs are being lambasted in the media for their 86 air tickets a year, so, you know, let's try and get some perspective. Thank you, Chair. Minister, thank you for your frankness, which certainly we've come to associate with you specifically, Minister. And it is much appreciated. We did have at the last committee meeting, we got a presentation with lots of dates and timelines and rollouts for the amalgamation of the two departments. I'm a very a simple man, and I wonder if you can just help me. Can you give me a final date or an event by which we will be one, Simunye? So we can say it's for SONA 2021. That will be the day. That would be very helpful just to get it into my head. Then thank you very much, Minister, for sending out that list of the names of the commissioners for the Fourth Industrial Revolution Commission, the President's Commission. That was very useful. And some of those names were very interesting as they sort of jumped out. And if I can just mention two specifically, there's Mr. Jaha, who was, I think, DG of the department at one stage. He's on the 4IR Commission. And there's Mr. Rolls, who came and presented. Yes, Jaha. And then Mr. Rolls's name, Mr. Leon Rolls's name is there too. And Mr. Rolls was quite vociferous when he came to present to DTPS on the Electronic Communications Amendment Act bill. But certainly I just see some names. Those two happen to jump out. Some of the others I'm unfamiliar with. But just in terms of the 4IR Commission, I would assume that the President would want as an objective approach as possible from stakeholders that come in, and there just seem to be vested interests at play in that commission. So if I can just highlight that and ask you, Minister, just keep a beady eye on some of our fellow travellers. In terms of the post bank and the post office, at the last committee meeting you asked could the committee get sight of Mr. Mark Barnes's resignation letter. I think that would be very useful. And also it was mentioned that we could perhaps have a presentation from Treasury or Finance on their reasons behind pulling the Post Bank out of the Post Office Group. Because as I understand it, if you take the assets of the Post Bank out of the Post Office Group, not the SAPO, but out of the group then becomes bankrupt. It is bankrupt. It doesn't have an asset base to support its ongoing business. And we know that mail and parcel business is declining. We also know it's going to take a while to set up some the international courier hub and all the ideas that Mr. Barnes had in place for the post office. But he, as far as I understand it, the subsidy that came from the profits of Postbank was essential to keep the business, the loss-making business of the post office running. So just clarity on that would be very useful. And certainly that meeting with Treasury. So I can understand as why they would go down that road. I would just like to, Mr. Nkuna is still here, I would just like to congratulate you, not only now, but in the last term, for the work done by the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services in the international arena. I don't think there's been a single complaint that I could find or a single accusation that I could level where work hasn't been done. And in fact, the work that you have done has been preeminent. I think you've led the continent in your discussions and in the position papers that you've adopted and the successes that have come out of those the ITU, the IPU, and the WRC. So just a congratulations from me. That's probably the best money spent by this department, Minister. You mentioned, Minister, BVI, that there was some talk around giving discounted rates to certain companies from BVI, so special treatment. I just want to know, Minister, if that kind of approach from the state towards certain companies falls foul of any Competition Commission legislation. Then I think it was with a sense of alarm that Dr. Craig van Rooyen's resignation was announced from the SABC. It seems to be another good person that we're losing. He gave the reasons for his resignation as personal, which is another way of saying I'm actually not prepared to speak about it. Do you have any insight into his resignation and the steps taken to replace him? I would imagine in the turnaround strategy, the chief operating officer is probably the most important man at the center of that. Please just bear with me. On the the marketing of let me just turn to page 25 of the communications presentation. I found it incredible, to say the least, that an organization like the SABC that's coming for a bailout of 3.2 billion rand can transpose figures in a presentation to a parliamentary portfolio committee. I think that's actually quite shocking. You know, attention to detail is all. It's not as if we have an entire set of company accounts to lack at. It's just two slides. And then on slide 25, you've written ICASA is the Independent Commissions Authority of South Africa. It's the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa.
Chair, I missed the comment of the Honourable Member on SABC.
The previous one. Just around the resignation of the COO, Dr. Yes, you know where you, DM, you actually, you made me feel a little bit embarrassed for not picking it up myself. I like to think of myself as a finance man. But you picked it up on the slides where the figures had been transposed. And I was saying that for the SABC to come and present a slide like that, when they're looking for so much money from the South African taxpayer, just that attention to detail. I mean, if you're the finance people and you can't get the figures right on the pages, you know, and then you come and ask for money, you're not giving us an awful lot of confidence. So I'm not offended.
Sorry, Honourable.
That's fine, Chair, thank you.
Yes,
so just a sort of a bit of a negative comment there. And then on page 25, ICASA, that we understand. Maybe there's somebody else with a bank account, Independent Commissions Authority of South Africa, that's getting 452 million. Then I noticed, and we've been having this problem with some of our community radio stations, because they're not generating sufficient revenue, they're then unable to pay Centec. So Centec come and deliver us a set of financials that says, you know, we're short on revenue because the community radio stations aren't paying. I'm just asking this as a question. The MDDA disburses funds to community radio stations and various community projects, yeah, communication projects. Isn't it possible that almost like a garnishee order, you could then, before you gave the funds to them, you could deduct at source what's due to Centec and then give them the rest or make some sort of payment plan? Is such a thing possible? Because that would help Centec and it would make the community radio stations and media agencies a little bit more responsible. And perhaps they should investigate more internet radio. It's a lot less costly than the normal thing. Then on slide 13, sorry, I don't want to take up all the time, but I won't be long, Chairperson, with your indulgence. There's reference made to a BDM consumer awareness and education plan implemented. You know, I mean, I've looked at the digital terrestrial television for a while. I was at a divisional director of Draft FCB at the time the digital Zonga was given to FCB as a contract to promote digital awareness and promote the project. That must be at least 10 years ago. So we've spent hundreds of millions of rands on this digital terrestrial television, and we still haven't finished the job. Mr. I think I want to ask, how many people still need to be migrated? How many set-top boxes do we have in stock to meet that? How many kits to meet that? And isn't it possible that with the rest of the people, we can't just buy them a 32-inch digital TV? I'm sure Hisense, make all those TV sets. Anyway, if you placed an order for 4 million, you could get them for a fraction with that sort of economy of scale. Have you looked into that, Minister, and wouldn't that kind of make sense? And then lastly, just on ICASA, you mentioned, you know, and well done, Minister, for issuing that directive. That really unlocks the logjam in the river. And it appears that, as you say, it's now with ICASA, and you didn't seem to have any indication of what they're doing. Do you have any more information? Have you spoken to any of the commissioners? Have they said to you, yeah, we're still looking at it, and we're sort of 70% down the road? And then, of course, our ICASA councillors, their term of office is coming to an end. So, you know, have they got the mettle to actually make this decision and get it moving before reselection, or are they going to wait until they've been reselected before they make that decision? Do you have any comment on that? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable Mashoza.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to welcome the report that we've received, and I only have a few comments. I think my other honourable members have spoken on it in terms of the challenges that are there on the department vis-a-vis what we are seeing now. I think it would give us a clear picture of where we are exactly. And also in terms of the SABC stability, because on the SABC budget, 45% of its budget goes to salaries. That's beyond the threshold of treasury. So what is the department saying about it? And we also had stories that employees in the SABC are not happy. What is happening? Because once you then bail out SABC, but you must get to the core of the problem so that we know what is it that is happening and we are clued up about it, and we then can maybe give advice where it's due when we know of all these challenges. So I think if maybe we can also get that in the next meeting of the clarity and of all these things, how are they then, what is their strategy of making sure that they don't go beyond this, and how do they reduce the 45% salary bill. And also there was an issue, I thought it would come and I did not see it, of the sports rights in the past 5 years. The SAPC has lost 2.3 billion as a result of sports rights. I thought maybe we would get a clue of what is happening so that then we are in light as the committee to be able to engage on these issues and see what is it that we can do. And I see that the bill has went up. It's no longer 1.9, it's 2 billion, because they also failed to pay people who supplied them with content. So these are the issues I was looking for, to see what is it that, how can we then go about all these red flags that are there. And also, I'm happy that you are on the issue of spectrum, because I think it's about time that we give South Africans a break, and they must be able then to, but maybe if we can also speed up to make sure that we know where we stand with it. And I did not get quite clear when the minister said there's a CEO who resigned, or is it a COO? It's a COO, or it's for operations. But I think if we have accepted the resignation with its...
Chair, I'm not sure which COO are we talking about. If it's SABC, it's the acting COO, which was the CIO. If it's SAPO, it's the CEO. I'm not sure which one you're referring to. I'm just providing clarity. SAPO is the CEO.
Can we just ensure, Minister, we speak through the chair?
sorry. Apologies. No, I'm just raising that, because once you don't have leadership, then the entity will sort of not have a direction where it goes. So since it has come forth that there is a resignation, then if it's accepted, proceedings must start so that you also get leadership inside an entity, because an entity that does not have leadership, it tends to have chaos inside. Those are the only things that I wanted to raise. Thank you very much.
And then you'll be followed by Honourable Matish.
Thanks, Chair. Sorry that I was late. I wasn't going to come because of my neck. I actually can't turn, so just know that I'm talking to you. So I've got, just to explain, in case there's speculation, I must explain, so you know also. So I've got osteophytes in my spine, so it's bone growths, which are causing pinched nerves. So I have to wear this collar here, which is destroying my look, just to hold my neck steady. I wish I didn't have to, but for health reasons, here I am. So I must echo my colleague's sentiments in this huge delegation. I don't know, I counted 22. All we need here is a minister, the deputy minister, the DGs who can be briefed before they come to Parliament about the issues. I think they're more than capable of responding to those issues. We have two very capable people here in front of us. If there is a specific issue you're targeting, you can, of course, bring the person responsible for a specific department. But with you telling us, for example, that ICASA is facing budget cuts, I think also you must snip. So only relevant people. And as my colleague says, if you're not speaking, don't come. Mr. Frick needed to be here, so he had to be here. I've got a couple of questions. Very disappointed about the issue at the post office and the rape of murder of Oyinene. The vetting should have been done. I know it is a complex issue given that people who go to jail and, you know, come out must not be discarded and they must be given employment. But we need to be careful about where they're given employment and what kind of crimes they've committed. So if it's a sexual offender, firstly we must have a sexual offenders register so that sexual offenders are not put in jobs where they have, you know, they could have access to recommitting their crimes. It is a little too late, but we're not going to play politics about this. I don't think it's an issue we can play politics about. It's an issue that requires all of society to be involved. I don't think there's a simple political solution or a government solution. So I think it's a societal issue, and where you have capacity as a department, you must play a role in, you know, the education of men and how young boys are brought up. So where you have platforms, please use them to talk about that important issue. I'm just confused about the management of MDDA, Brand SA, and GCIS. The budget is with you, but, you know, how is it being managed? I mean, one of the gentlemen mentioned that MDDA, community radio stations, are not paying Centec. So who is it you? Is it Minister Tembu? Just to understand how that is working practically. The SABC preconditions, now, I think those need to be made public, and they need to be made available to us as a committee, because ultimately it is us that conducts the oversight. So we need to know that SABC was required to meet A, B, C, and D. And if they haven't met A, B, C, and D, and National Treasury and yourselves feel that they are not meeting a specific precondition, we could, you know, as a committee, when the SABC appears, to say, you've been asked to do this, you haven't done it, why not? So I think we need to be involved in the process. We can't just be spectators. We have a role as Parliament to play to make sure that the SABC and indeed the public interest is taken care of. So I think it is in the public interest. I think, Chairperson, it's important for us to play a role in the process so that we don't come back again in 2 years and then there's another cap in hand saying, Stella Engimal, like, there's not a government, there's no more money for bailouts. So we need to know. And then we can also hold them accountable. Say, you were supposed to meet this, you are not meeting this, you're given this money, you're given 3.2 billion from government. That's a lot of money. That's money that could have been spent on other things. So we need to be able to keep them, Minister, Deputy Minister, how? so that we can keep them accountable. Broadcast, finalizing the broadcasting amendment bill, I'm seeing some red flags here, and I'm seriously concerned. You say that it will deal with the size and the composition of the board, appointment procedure, removal and resignation. The last bill we had in front of us dealt with specifically those issues. It dealt about reducing the size of the board. It dealt about removing Parliament's role in appointing the board and other issues. I hope that's not what you're bringing to us again. So in the process with Cabinet, and don't bring that thing back to us like that. I think Chairperson must take very serious note of what is being said at the Zondo Commission. As the SABC appears, I think we will have to maybe institute some investigations, or the department may have to investigate certain issues. I think if we can ask the secretariat to just, I mean, they're appearing now and we're here, if they can keep careful note of things that are being mentioned that might require our actions. And then our action. And then I was very concerned about the report in the Sunday Times about board members interfering in the management of the SABC. There were specific board members who were mentioned. I think it's a very, very serious issue. There shouldn't be, you know, that kind of interference in editorial decisions, for example. So I think, Chair, next time the SABC is here, I think it's on the 17th of September, we must be very clear with the board that they need to tell us what is going on. Last term, we were the committee of filling SABC boards. That's what is our primary job, because there was always problems at the SABC. So one of the commitments we made is that with the board is that they need to constantly keep us updated if there are issues, so that we don't have to keep spending time interviewing, shortlisting, because it takes a lot of our time. That's what we spent our time doing last term. So, I think that's it for now. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Madisha.
Thank you, Chair. The Minister and the Deputy and everyone here present. I've gone through the estimates of national expenditure. I'm here referring to, you know, Vote 3. And I had, before this meeting, a number of problems, because I took that and juxtaposed it with the reports that were going to be given. And I realized that there were a number of problems. But I must say, Minister, through your chair, that I welcome your acceptance that there are areas that weren't covered as yet. And I here refer inter alia to corporate services, and further welcome the point that you say that all those particular areas will be dealt with as a matter of urgency. Now, what one will propose through your chair is that as it should be, you know, as a matter of urgency, that we, when we come here, we are given a report to say we have been able to fix this and there and so on and so forth. I think those particular areas have been identified, and I hope that will be looked into. Second area, I'm happy the minister is going to the interministerial committee. And you see, I'm worried, Minister, that this committee really is like we play the second fiddle in the bigger political milieu of the South African Parliament. I say that because as the committee we will sit, to give you an example, call SABC and say, report what are the requirements, what are the weaknesses, and so on and so forth. They will do that. And as a committee, like one appealed that we need to move forward as one. And I'm happy we're doing so. Now, as a committee, we'll then say that so much must go there, and so forth and so on. Now, you have another committee calling that very SABC to come and report. I don't know, you call it what communications? Yes.
Select committee.
Okay.
NCOP.
The NCOP. Okay. Now, the Treasury as well at some stage. I think they did do that. Well, you will actually clarify. I am saying that because we need to be sure so that next time we don't have a situation where we shall rise and say, we have dealt with these problems, etc., etc., and those very results, whatever we shall have emerged, we shall have acquired through our discussions and resolutions, get overturned elsewhere. If you kindly could deal with that, otherwise we shan't go anywhere at all. Mr. McKenzie, you're correct. And I saw the chairperson agreeing with you that, my best soccer club, well, mine is the best in the country,
But just don't divide the house.
Pardon?
Just don't divide the house, whatever it
is. Yes. No, mine is the best. That's why... Yes. I've not said which, but mine is the best. And I suppose you support it. I think the minister agrees with me. Mine is the best. Now, as we go to the stadium to watch that match, you have the stadium, full. And that's the kind of thing that we see. When we come to the meetings of communication and so on, you find a crowd, And I've asked myself a question. Now, if these people have got to fly from Johannesburg, they travel from Pretoria to Johannesburg, each one of them 10,000 to and fro, what actually happens? You say in this SABC, we need so many billions, but then it then says that in a month, for example, more than 200,000 will have been spent. I'm not talking about the other members of staff from the department, this kind of things. And yet, if we were to say, yes, we call the department, there's the DG, DDG, and so on, the only two people, they must come here and account. They are supposed to be knowing what permeates, the department altogether. Instead of, the entire crowd coming here, poor people having to sit down there, and with all the monies that get spent, they must eat on the way, and a lot of money gets used. And we say we don't have any. Or that SABC, they bring 15 people, they all sit there, and there are only two people, the CEO, CFO, the chairperson of the board are the only ones who speak, and there's a crowd that is there. I think we need to look into that. And through you, Chair, I think if we've got to say the finances, which we say are actually needed, that must come, as the first, one of the first points. But then I want to say that, Chair, I am happy that at least there is an acknowledgement that there are things that still have got to be done And indeed, that must be done as a matter of urgency. And when we meet, let's get the report that we have traveled, this is what we have achieved. Thank you.
If there are no hands at this point in time, I would probably take them in the next round. I thought there would be responses. Honorable Faku.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps,
Honorable Kubeka.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps we must thank the Minister for the presentation and the DDG and the acting DDG. But perhaps one of the things, Chair, that I wanted to raise is maybe just to congratulate the DDG for telecommunication for the sterling work that the department is doing. But perhaps to take us into confidence about that 1% that the department could not achieve. What were the challenges with regards to that? And my second issue is the issue with GTEC. Perhaps we must appreciate the initiative from Treasury and the department to assist the SABC on that regard. Perhaps if the minister can take us into confidence, what are the requirements that have been put in place to assist the SABC? On the issue of ICASA, Chair, it is very worrisome that you have ICASA that is not sustaining itself in terms of spending. They are spending more than what is expected of them to spend. I wanted to ask the Minister, are the measures that are put in place, maybe in terms of the performance, I see there are senior management positions that are currently out, is the performance agreements that the Minister have with ICASA? And we must appreciate the issue of the spectrum, Minister. I think that is the direction that we want to go to, into as a country. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kubeka.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me first acknowledge the report. As you can see, the department is working also set very hard because now at the moment they are dealing with two things. On the other hand, they need to integrate in order that finally we must have that department. But one thing that I would like to say, Chair, firstly, on the issue of the things that they have been presented, that they have never managed to get those targets. I'm also there on the side to say, is there any plan maybe for future to continue to try to correct those ones? Because most of the targets, as I can see on the report, they've managed to reach in this quarter. So I'm saying, is there any plan on that maybe to push further? And also, I'm thankful with also the Minister and the Deputy Minister on the side of just opening these eyes in this entity of SABC. Indeed, 3.2 billion is huge. And also, it needs to have some results. And that shows that also the department is trying to support hard, because at the end of the day, as we said as the committee, we want that public broadcast. But what I want to understand on the issue of the turnaround strategy, are they coming all right with the issue of those time frames as you have agreed? Because now, if I can recall, we said the National Treasury will give that 3.2 billion, but not all of them at the same time. So pertaining those things to balance on the side of the National Treasury, whilst they are giving them with trenches, is the SABC on the issues that they have agreed with that committee that you have sent also to assist on that side pertaining the issue of turnaround strategy coming all right? We would like to have that report actually in order that we must see to say there is a progress or there are still some challenges in order that we must go forward. But also I would like somehow maybe on the issue of the ICASA, because you can't spend whatever you don't have. You need, as we are saying, you need to budget. What is the challenge on their side? Are you following up on the side to put them on the right track? Because they can't just continue to do that, because it also
give the department, or also on the side of the National Treasury, a challenge to support them if they are spending beyond whatever they have. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kum.
Thank you, Chair. I first would like to thank the Minister and the Department for the presentation of the report. Mine is only one issue on SABC matter. I just want to check with the Minister as to whether she can share with us some of the preconditions that has been set out by the National Treasury.
Honorable Tim.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the Honorable Minister and the Deputy Minister. Actually, I'm covered by the previous speakers, but just want to once again welcome the presentation, and also echo the same sentiment with the other previous speakers by applauding the department for achieving 95% of their target. That is appreciated. That means the department is going to the correct direction. Thank you once again. Actually, I wanted to follow the cue that we need to join hands in fighting the social ills. We need to all women to join our hands and forget about our political affiliation, because social ills are not political. When Madiba once said, when people are determined, they can overcome anything. I want to just emphasize that. Thank you.
I will then afford you an opportunity to respond and check if there will be other questions beyond that point. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Honourable Members, thank you for the questions. I would like to respond to Honourable Mulala, who's asking about this budget transfers. Very lot, my brother, trust me. I say the same, that when people look at this budget, they think this department has it all, until you have to transfer and transfer. But you're raising a very important point, that do these transfers address the challenges that you are facing in the country? Do they add value in terms of contributing also not just unemployment but turning around the economy? In most cases, we had previously focused on the governance and compliance in terms of what is required by AG, what's required by Treasury and everybody else. So the stance that we have taken this year is that we need to remodel how we do our oversight as a department, to say the 8 billion that we transfer, does it give us any contribution in terms of changing the economy around? Therefore, looking into the economic impact of each and every entity rather than just governance and compliance. That's why as we're marching towards the new department, those are the things that we are looking at, to say if we reconfiguring the department to say this is our SOC branch, therefore we need a group of economists that must look at these entities with this sharp eye, and therefore we see what value are we really adding, because as we establish our state-owned entities as government, it's simply to make sure that we implement, or as they become our implementing agencies, but most importantly to help us be able to bridge that gap that is there in terms of the state is funding this
program, and this program is able to contribute both to the society and to the economy in this particular manner. So we are trying to do that remodeling now to say, let's make sure that wherever we put money, there's an economic spin-off that's derived, not just like accessing social services only. Even with the Department of Social Development, we're now saying we're distributing lots of grants as post office, but does it change the economy where the people are benefiting? How do we make sure that if it's 3 billion that's in our cap and 50 million goes to that township because there's lots of beneficiaries, how do we make sure that the other one is able to be an entrepreneur that the money must circulate around instead of this money getting out of the area and therefore government not seeing any change in terms of the economic change in the people's lives? So we're really trying to look at that, a model that our president and says it has to be a district-based approach to look into if government is coming to this area, what's the economic impact besides the social impact? And it starts with the department that's the policy maker, and therefore, as we develop these policies and establish the entities, they must be responsive to the country's challenges. So we are looking into that. There are areas where we are happy. For example, if we are to talk about Telkom, we're happy that it's one of the few entities, state-owned entities, that is able to give back that is able to give money back to the state. But we are looking into the weaknesses. How do we learn from the challenges that we have, and how do we then improve? Of course, key to that improvement is collaboration by all state-owned entities that currently are working in silos. The second issue, of course, we will try next time to present the previous financial reports so that you can have a good comparison. The discussion on the location of the post bank, you're correct to say probably you will take it to other committees. We will advise the committee to write to the Reserve Bank to request them to come and appear here. As I said, it's a decision that was taken there, but probably you can pursue at that level to get their understanding and all that you require from them. Over expenditure by ICASA, our accounting officers are engaging to say how do they make sure that they really reduce that and make sure that entities spend within the allocated budgets, because it can be a cause for disaster if not attended to. On the SMME strategies, why we choose certain priority areas, I spoke earlier of the district-based approach. Of course, that was before the president won. As the department, as we continue to roll out the SA Connect project, we're rolling it in 8 districts at the NHI pilots. So what we said we needed to do is to make sure that if we're connected, let's not just move out and people don't understand the importance of that connectivity and do not derive an economic spin-off. Let's provide training in the SMEs in that area. Let's provide training to the educators in that area. So that's the holistic approach that we're trying to bring. So that's why you're talking about those priority areas. Of course, in other areas, we go there in partnership with other stakeholders, and this is the work that we're doing, as I said, from the department, small business development, and the industry that is coming on board, including banks, by the way, especially Standard Bank. We really want to thank them for their contribution in the development of the SMEs in the ICT sector. Honorable Mackenzie raises, we accept, all, I think majority of members have raised it, the issue of the size of the delegation. If you give us permission to reduce the delegation, we will. Because in previous cases, you will get a question that why didn't you bring them to answer for themselves? So we needed to make sure that any response that may be needed from them, the honorable members can get it. But it does make sense to say let's reduce our delegations, and we must make sure that we get all the information that will be required. I always also argue the fact that actually we're a committee that's responsible for technology. So maybe if we really need more information, we must learn to Skype, we must learn to Zoom in programs and all that, so that people can really feel this that we're talking about. The final reconfiguration date, Honourable Mackenzie, is the 31st of March. That's where, by 1st April, the department should be won. Right now, the presidency has DPSA has issued a gazette transferring the functions to the department. Because those are the steps that we have to undertake. Make sure that all functions, the only entity that has not been transferred yet is CETA, of which presidency, unless they did it last week, of which presidency was going to follow on that to say it must be transferred, because I think they made a mistake because they were saying it remains with the department, and we were like, it was under telecoms, so you can't say it remains with the department, because first April there's no telecoms. So that's the only one. So we are taking step by step as guided by the DPSA and everything else that regulates the process. You make mention of the people that are serving in the Presidential Commission. I think when you mentioned Ndwaga, you were referring to Dr. Ngaba. Ndwaga. We don't have Mr. Ndwaga in the Presidential Commission. 100%. Yes, 100%. Mr. Leon Royce, unfortunately, he was nominated, as we called for nominations when we were going for the appointment of the commissioners, but we needed all sectors to be represented. Therefore, his sector nominated him to be part of the Presidential Commission, because the Presidential Commission is not only looking into one sector, it's looking at sectors across board, because, as I said, others are in energy. The fourth industrial revolution cuts across. It's not an ICT-based issue. It cuts across. It doesn't matter if you are in biology. It doesn't matter wherever you are. So we needed to make sure that we cover all those angles. But most importantly, the voice of the SMM is also to be heard by those that will be considering legislation and policy. Thank you for the compliment on international work that we're doing well. We are also reviewing. We've asked the team to develop a strategy on international relations. We are affiliating to many bodies, and we are reviewing the value that we derive out of that, besides us attending the forum and getting whatever information to say. For example, in other structures, there's election and appointment of staff that is able to influence programs. And South Africa, we have not been too good on that. We affiliate, we pay all the monies, we attend everything, but it is other countries that get to drive the work that's doing. And we really believe that that is not assisting us to drive the South African agenda in the international platforms that we are subscribing to. So that's why we ask for the international strategy to be aligned to the country's national interest plan, to say this is what we want to achieve as a country, and therefore these are the bodies that will affiliate, because in this year these are the priorities, and therefore it makes sense to be in ITU and this and this and that, and therefore what value are we adding? They're presenting the papers that must influence the South African position. That's why we talk of strengthening our policy-making side, because if we're not strengthening that, we're not going to be able to produce papers that must be presented so that we can influence the global agenda. So we are trying to address those, and as I said, thank you for the compliment. I'm sure DDG is very happy that side. I'm going to lead the BBI issue to the DG, but I just want to talk to the resignation of the SABC CIO, who was acting for 3 months as COO. Previously, colleagues, honourable members, you will remember that we had Chris Maruleng, who was the COO of SABC, who was dismissed due to some investigation that was conducted, and therefore that's why they had to then appoint an acting one whilst they're still trying to work on advertising. So as Honourable Mackenzie said, he cited personal reasons, but I hear Honourable Mackenzie believes that it has to do with a turnaround strategy. I wouldn't dismiss that. I don't know, but he was just 3 months into the position, so I don't know. The issue on the community radio stations and their affordability, especially when it comes to the signal distribution cost, it's a serious challenge, honourable members, that we are faced with. That's why the ADG, when she made the presentation, she referred to the moratorium that has been lifted by ICASA. But it poses challenges for us as government, because you can't say a radio station must be taken off air because they can't afford. But if we increase to license the members without first creating an environment that they must be sustainable, because as MDDA funds, ICASA doesn't check if MDDA has budget now. The law says if you have applied within 60 days, you must get the license. That's why we ask them to put a moratorium, because as long as they continue licensing people, and this side, the MDDA does not have enough budget, as we know, budgets, then it poses a challenge. There's a huge backlog at MDDA of the people that were funded. To start with, as we continue to fund, government money is regulated. Therefore, those entities or community media, whether it's broadcaster or print, as they are given money, they have to account, and we've got to ensure that they are compliant with everything. We can't just give money over without satisfying ourselves that indeed they meet everything. That's a serious challenge. I guess that ADG was raising that with yourselves to say probably also try to engage with the CASA to look into the implications financially and also the sustainability of all the things that we are doing. If everybody just comes and apply for license and we give you a license and we expect government, because we must also be able to look at the financial sustainability of a person that is applying with that community, because we expect government to fund all of those, and realty government is very stressed right now. The BDM awareness comms plan, indeed, we've been doing this. We have been talking about the digital migration program for so many years. That's why now we said, because you do know that there was the model that was presented last time, but as I said, it requires 3.8 billion for it to be implemented. That's why we said, let's work with the industry, let's see what can be done to make sure that we minimize the cost, and then we collaborate in ensuring that we bring these resources, I bring these ones, without compromising government, because we do not want any capture to happen. So as we are within the policy imperative, and then we're inviting industry to come and join hands with us, we've got to know that everything is covered and we will be able to fast track the process. So that's the challenge that we are faced with when it comes to that project. About 3.5 million that needs to be migrated. We had 5 million initially, and USASA had procured for 1.5 million, which means it's 3.5 that's remaining. And out of that 1.5 million, the numbers, the last time I checked, it was about 800,000 that was distributed. Yes, 800,000, which means there's other boxes that are still in the post offices that must be distributed. That is why the ADG made reference to the Free State that we had said, let's first switch off Free State. But even there, we've got to confirm that as we put these boxes, they are indeed working. Because that's another challenge that we discovered. DM came back very traumatized the other time to say, we've given people boxes, they are not working, and there's no one to come and install and all these things. So we said, let's do a follow-up before we continue messing up. Let's do a follow-up, track the progress, see the challenges, address them, so that as we roll out the remaining bulk, then we're able to say we're not going to experience the same challenges that we have experienced. We have looked at the alternative technologies. That's what I was reporting earlier, to say we requested cabinet to give us permission, because remember, it's cabinet approved our position. So when we came, we requested cabinet because we stipulated these challenges, and then we requested them to give us an opportunity to go and check. But even there, I mean, like, it's the nice thing was indeed the set-top boxes are an outdated issue, but we just need to migrate people. Technology is advancing, but the cost is something that also takes us back. Because we're looking at that, even if we were to introduce the hybrid model, what are the costs? That's why we said, let everybody come, not just the operators, the manufacturers themselves, and then ourselves, and see what is it that can be done. The ICASA's term of office, right now we have a vacancy that has been left by the former chairperson, Ruben Musaluga, and four other councillors that are coming to an end in April next year, which is why through Parliament it's the five vacancies that now the Parliament will be working on in terms of filling up. Others, they are coming to an end in 2021. But we had said, okay, we agree with the five that must be done. And you are correct, Honourable McKenzie, it can have a negative impact if not properly managed. Because understanding spectrum and how ICASA works is very complicated. So it's very important to get people who understand. That's why we're going to appeal to Parliament as to go ahead to fill in those vacancies, because it's going to be a challenge if you're going to put people who must still understand what is ICASA, what does the ECA mean, what is expected, the role of the minister, their role on that side, and therefore looking into consideration, competition issues and all that. It's a very complicated space, especially if you have a challenge like of fast-tracking the licensing process that we're talking about. So we really need to make sure that we are alive to those realities when we consider the people that we'll be considering. Honourable Matola raises an important issue that talks to the challenges of the department. As we spoke on corporate services, for example, the filling in of vacancies, which is something that's a challenge, but also because we're going to be one department. We do not want to be filling all the positions that are at this side whilst we have them this side. So that's what's making even the entities struggle with a real implementation, because if you're saying you're going to bring BVI, you're going to bring Centec together and a component of CETA probably, we've got to really look, because there are CFOs already that you're looking at. So as we lifted the moratorium, we had to say, we're lifting the moratorium, but only on strategic positions that we know that after 1st April, those that will, because it's the department migrating, with the entities, we still need Parliament to pass the laws that must repeal the previous laws that established those entities. To say now the new structures must take into consideration, because we will not be getting rid of people. So to put the structure to be bloated is going to be a challenge and a burden to the state again. So we are cautious to say, let's get somebody who is a DOC to act at DTPS if it's the same position. Let's get somebody seconded to an entity to avoid that financial constraint that we may face. The stability of SABC is very crucial to us. It's very important. I mean, Parliament has really expressed this several times, that the people of this country are really in need of the public broadcaster. And by the way, with all the challenges that we're talking about, when we talk about SABC, they've done a sterling job. People of this country are able to watch whatever programs they want to watch. They get information at all times, unless where there are challenges, which is something that we try to address in relation to the sport rights. And that's a discussion outside SABC, a discussion that requires PSL and the regulator and the legislator to say, how do we make sure that as we identify sports of national interest, we do not put a burden to SABC? But at the same time, how does SABC make sure that as they do their costing, they put the public mandate cost aside the commercial one, so that we know that when we come to Parliament, at least government can fund the public mandate, it can be guaranteed. So those are the things that we are working on to say from our side, we're going to amend these acts, we're going to change certain things, and then the regulator is going to do certain things. That's what we are looking at, and of course we reported about the money. You're correct to say it goes to salaries, about a huge chunk of it goes to it. Part of the turnaround strategy, as I said earlier, is the fact that it must not only look into the past and now, it must look into going to the future. How are we going to be sustainable? Where are we spending more and we need not? And as we do that, the kind of skills that we require, as we say we want to change SABC to be the best public broadcaster, to be like BBC, if I were to make an example, the kind of skills that you need, because also part of getting rid of people, if you have to get rid of people, you've got to make sure that you're not going to go back and say, I'm looking for the same skills that you got rid of, which is something that when we stopped the process earlier, when we were against, we said, present a skills plan, a clear skills plan, that I'm getting rid of these skills because they are redundant in the organization. These are the new skills, that the skills that I'm going to need for the SABC of the future. So it's just that thing we have asked them. They have worked on the skills audit, and they are working on it as part of the turnaround plan to say how are they going to reduce those costs. With a clear plan, because also, if you intend to get rid of people, you must have a clear retrenchment plan, engagements with everyone, but most importantly, funding. Because when people go, there must be funding that they get, whatever you call it. Is it package? Those packages are not. So it's a clear plan. It's not just like waking up and saying, we're spending 45%, therefore go home. We don't need you. It has to be a clear plan, because we are government. We do not want, as we have seen in the past, SABC has lost so many cases of people who were left to go, and then they win through system A and things, and we ended up having to pay so much money. I'm making an example by SABC. It also happens in the department and other entities. So those are the things that we really feel like we've got to make sure that we address them. Because if we save 40 million today in order to pay 100 million in 3 months, we'll be killing the same entities. But as I said, they are working on the turnaround strategy, and the GTEC team that is assisting them is identifying loopholes here and there and all that to say, okay, how do you address this one? How do you address that? And then SABC responds in a manner that they know how best are they going to grow the organization. I spoke to the issue of sport rights. They were so. It is PSL that owns rights. Then PSL chooses to sell to those people that they want to sell to, and then we enter into agreements as SABC. When I say we in this context is the shareholder of SABC, as we enter into agreements, it's commercial terms. Therefore, we agree on certain amounts that as SABC and whoever that is involved, this is the amount that we'll pay for this season, and therefore we can afford it or we can't. And then SABC reported to us that in the last 3-5 years, the prices or the contracts that were changed, they did not even double the price of what they were paying. I don't know if they quadrupled it, what's the right English, or tripled or whatever, but then they were increased so highly that now SABC does not make any money out of that, which is why the Minister of Communications and the Minister of Sport had to engage with both groups to say it's in the public's interest to make sure that people have access to watching sport in this country. Find ways of dealing with that so that our people can have access without jeopardizing SABC, as we understand the financial constraints that they are going through. Engagements are still ongoing. Again, you've seen last time people were able to watch the matches, but most importantly is to come up with a sustainable plan so that we don't have to panic every time there's going to be soccer games or whatever, sporting games. And also the definition by the regulator and the policymaker, the definition of the sports of national interest. That's the process that ICASA has already started. They've issued draft regulations, so the entities are busy engaging on that, and then we'll come and feedback. Yes, it's important that we fast-track the replacement of filling in of vacancies everywhere. That is crucial. Honorable Van Damme talks, the issue of the delegation, as other members have raised it, and expresses their disappointment on the SAPO matter. And I fully agree, actually, with you on the sexual offender register. We really need to do that. I know people feel like we're undermining the law when we talk of these offenses or these people that have been found to be guilty of certain offenses, because the law gives you the right to this and that, but also that law cannot be at the expense of women in this country. So there is a time that we need to engage with all the judiciary and everybody to say what is the country's plan in protecting women in this country. It requires all of us, without looking at this angle, I'm the policymaker, I'm the judiciary, I'm whatever, but as people of the country, what is it that we employ to make sure that women are safer in this country? We can never really compromise on those. MDDA, GCIS, and BSA reporting lines. Administratively, they report to the presidency under Minister Jackson Mthembu. Financially, because the funds have not been transferred yet, as they will be transferred from the 1st of April, so they still account to us with that, which is what the ADG was mentioning, that we cannot go and verify this work, what's the work of the Department of the Presidency. But what we've agreed on is that the ministers, they will have bilaterals to say, this is how far we are, this is what has happened, this is how it's impacting us on the other side. So that collaboration will really help us move forward, which is something that maybe we have to propose also to the portfolio committees, the two portfolio committees that are presiding over these entities. The SABC preconditions, earlier on before you arrived, Honorable Van Damme, I had offered that if the members require that, we can make them public, including the letters that we have sent on the 27th that we have sent to SABC. We can avail that, we have said so that you can trace and see this that we are talking about. On the broadcasting amendment bill, I would appeal to the honorable members to wait for us to come and present. Of course, we are taking into consideration comments that were made. But as I said, there's certain things that we need to attend to in looking to the functionality and sustainability of SABC. So we really have to come back and get those addressed. On the Zondo Commission investigation, our portfolio committee can go ahead with that, but I just want to inform the honorable members that from our side, we will be responding directly to the commission on the issues that affect the department. So we're just waiting for all the presentations that are being done, and our lawyers are working to go and make a presentation. So we are really looking into that. We're taking it serious. In relation to the last Sunday, I think the honourable member said interference by board members, the article on that. I must also inform honourable members that we received correspondence, I think it's 3 weeks back. We received correspondence from some board members citing challenges that they're experiencing amongst themselves, and we had returned to the board chair to inform him that this is the correspondence that we have received, so we would call the members and then call the board and the chair to say this is what the members are saying. The response that we got was that SABC is capable of dealing with their issues as a board. we had written back in response to say we do appreciate that, but then when board members complain about each other, we also have a right to intervene because there's a need for stability at SABC, as you correctly put it. Whatever in fighting, as I said, we have not met with them yet to know these are the details and all. Whatever in fighting that is there, it must not then lead to the organization being dysfunctional. That's very primary for us. So we're still going to meet. We had asked the office, it's just that we were abroad in most cases, we were busy. We're going to meet and then try to bring other teams together and understand. When I read that, I'm not sure if it's the same or it's others that when I saw the article. But we did talk to that and informed the chair that this is what we will be doing. Honorable Madisha, yes, we will attend to our corporate services challenges and try to address them as we emphasize. And yes, you are correct to say it becomes a challenge when you have everyone dealing with the same entity. It causes lots of confusion. But because how the state and parliament works, the portfolio committee, for example, on finance, if they require certain information from us, they can call anyone to come and account for this in relation to the work that they are doing. So we respect that. But there's also a need for portfolio committees in Parliament to join hands and collaborate in the areas of interest to say, from our side, as Portfolio Committee on Communications, we are looking at this interest. As finance, this is what you are looking at. As corporate, this is what you are looking at. The one that's looking at justice, because all these things, they are interrelated. There's a need for joint committee sessions so that you do not take a decision that's contrary to the other one. It has happened a lot, even if you look into the legislations that we have produced. Another committee will produce a certain legislation that's passed by Parliament, and then another department will come and present another one that contradicts the other one. So there's really a need for us to try to work in a coordinated approach, and that goes with what is it that we want for the country. Us sharing that this is what we want in relation to SAP. If it's SABC public broadcasting, this is the kind of public broadcasting, and this is what is required to support that public broadcaster. That can be only a comms issue. It requires all of us to say, as I said, these are the issues. If SABC is to survive, there are certain things that we need to let go of in the legislation. There are certain things that from the Treasury side, they must understand that SABC has to undergo. That's why I'm saying, even when we introduce those bills, we will have to workshop all the members on those so that you can deliberate to say, in your area, this is how it affects you. So we're really feeling the negative impact of the silo working mentality. Honorable Fagu, the non-achievement of the 5% by the DTPS is the one that we referred to in terms of the broadband rollout. And there I cited the fact that CETA has been experiencing challenges on the last mile because others, they put the infrastructure here and then there's the point of presence that must be put, and then that CETA that does that to take it to the actual building. There was this government information. So because they've been experiencing challenges internally, it has really spilled over to this work that we are doing. But they've given their commitment that they're going to make sure that we do not miss any more targets. In relation to the requirements in place to assist SABC, I've already spoken to that. The appointment of the CTEC is assisting. Actually, they are meeting with the board today to present their report and findings, and then we'll take it from there. Because as I said earlier, Treasury has made available this $3.2 billion, provided we meet the obligations. It says jointly. So we needed to make sure that whatever CTEC is bringing, the board understand what is it that is bringing, so that when they come to us, they say, this is how they're going to attend to those things. And then with confidence, can go to Treasury to say, we've got SABC's word, this is what they will be doing, and then we monitor that progress. Performance agreements with ICASA counselors. The law says ICASA counselors must sign with the shareholder on performance agreements so that you're able to monitor the work that they must be done in terms of the application of the work that they are responsible for. But for many years, ICASA has not signed the performance agreements. Of course, upon appointment, we then wrote to them to remind them this is what the Act says, and therefore request them to start working on that process and then come and make a presentation or send a submission. A response that we got was that they would like to engage with the minister first, and we have said it's okay to engage the minister, but at least if they can send drafts, so that by the time we engage, we know very well these are the things to be considered, instead of us meeting and then they must go back because we really are out of time. They have not came back to us.
We have received requests for salary increase of the councillors, which is something we said we can't respond to until all these things are attended to. Because if we increasing salaries, we've got to understand this is what they will be doing and committing to in terms of the plans that they've presented in Parliament and the monitoring thereof that we needed to do. Honourable, my whip. One of the things that we did with, upon analysing, especially from the entity side, all the reports that we got, was to say, as we were going to their AGMs and all that, make sure that within, did we give them a month? Rendani, the entities, within a month, produce your remedial report, the plan of action of how you're going to address all these challenges that have led to you not meeting the targets. The same approach we've taken to the department to say, as I said, we did not meet 5% for example, from DTPS because of CETA. So we're doing the same thing because it hammers on the work that we are doing now. We're not able to report on 100% because of the work that's being done. So we've asked for remedial action plans, and we will share them with Parliament to make sure that they are properly addressed and implemented. The SABC turnaround strategy is in progress. As I said, remember the board had approved their turnaround strategy. I want to emphasize this, which is what the Treasury could not approve in relation to the funding. Hence, we asked the GTEC to assist them in reworking of the turnaround strategy to meet the requirements that are required. I know, Honorable Webb, that SABC does not like that, but unfortunately, we do not have money in the department. We've got to ask for money in Treasury, and they have their regulations, which is something we've been emphasizing. At some point, we say, if they say they want a dead mouse, let's go hand a dead mouse. All we want is the money. But what we cannot agree to is something that will leave SABC dead or hammer the progress of SABC. But if it is to say we want to hold you accountable, we see your plan, but we don't get a sense, like Honorable Van Damme was saying, they need to see the obligations that are put there. We will share that with you because there it's clear to say we have met ABCD, we're satisfied here, but in this area, these are the areas that you must look at, non-core assets and all that, which is that we have not addressed. So it's those things that they are talking about. So that the plan is in progress. Treasury has given us up to the 17th of September to respond to them how we're going to go about it so that they can start releasing the money. Of course, it's following the trenches. It's still like that. It's depending on the amount of information that we, or the progress that we make, that they will release the money. That's still the condition, even on the letter that tells us of the approval of the money. We're really going to follow up on the ICASA, as I said. The accounting officers are engaging each other to make sure that indeed all entities really do not put us in that bad position, because now we'll have to be found wanting as government to see how we complement for the monies that have been spent. The preconditions, Honorable Kumbu, that are set for SABC, I already said we're going to circulate them. We'll circulate them, and the joint letter that we signed, the letter that we co-signed with the Minister of Finance to say these are the outstanding, because we'll give you what was sent to them. Probably we must also give you what they sent to both us and Treasury as their response, and then the letter that said, here, you have not met this address, ABCD, and all that. We will circulate that to the members. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think Minister has gone broadly on responding on a number of things, which I think there will be information that Minister was saying will come through to the committee. I want to go back to my approach last week, using my fresh experience as a backbencher on how we're working on a number of things, especially with the Standing Committee on Finance, because of the cross-cutting issues. And it's just a suggestion that members can look at. And it's for members to decide on, because if you looked at some of the programs, they would touch on DTI, on SCOF, on SCOPA, and the select committee. But what we would do, and I would be practical with yourselves, take the SABC issues of ICU, SABC digital migration, spectrum and data must fall, broadband, SAPO Post Bank, Centec and its sustainability, digital development fund for startups. And then as a committee you then say, we're going to prioritize these things and we'll want to meet with these entities and then look at which other committees get affected by this thing. And if you go to SABC, you'll also want a committee like sports, you'll also want select committees, so that by the time you move out of the SABC things, you have dealt with all those things. But you'll also need, from what the minister was saying, GTEC to come and report to you with National Treasury and everything that the minister was saying to say, these are the requirements that was needed, and these are the things that happened, and this is how far SABC is responding. I'm saying this because we don't have to keep issues of national interest prolonged in the public space without them being responded to, because we end up with speculation, we end up with fake news and all other things. So once you identify these things and then say, let's come under one roof and look at this. ICASA, you are dealing with the regulatory. Centec, you are dealing with this. SABC, these are the challenges. GTEC, you are dealing with this. How do we, you find each other and then deal with it? By the time you move out of the committee meeting, Minister shall have been there to respond on other things and the support we shall have given as the ministry, and then you'll be able to see whether we are coming and going. I'm appealing to this so that these issues don't drag too long in the public space until they become or they go out of, they go beyond its their own parameters and everybody comes with a particular conclusion. So I'm suggesting this, Chair, so that within your programs, look at how you deal with it. I mean, that's how we're able to deal with Steinhoff and maybe whether African Bank or anything, because you put them, lock them into one thing, including the trade unions. You call in trade unions because organized labor must also say, this is what is practically happening. I know from the minister's side, from us, we meet organized labor, we meet all those things, but have that opportunity because this committee used to do that. So my appeal is, Nje, not for us to have all these things dragging in the public space and being blown out of proportion. So that's the long and short of it, Jay, that I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DM. I'm just checking if the DG wanted to come back to that broadband issue, but I thought the minister would cover the point.
Thanks, Chair. Just two issues. On the BBI issue, here we're talking about SMEs that want to participate in the industry. Now, you can have a set-aside for SMEs. You can have a special dispensation for SMEs, and that's what we're asking our entities. In fact, even industry, to see industry players, when SMEs come and ask for bandwidth, can you give them a preferential rates? So that can be done without being in foul with the law. The other issue that I wanted to quickly deal with is with regard to the question raised earlier on about CETA and the government departments that are not paying. Now, what we are beginning to discover is that there are always two sides to the story. You know, whenever we meet with CETA and the departments, and that's what we're trying to assist. A case in point is that of military veterans, that CETA and the department have been stuck in developing the database of military veterans. Now, we sit in the meeting with the DG of military veterans and say, what is the problem? Why are we not doing this? Then there will be a CETA version, there will be a departmental evasion. So we're trying to unlock that. With environmental affairs, for example, the environmental impact assessment automated system has been pending since 2013, something that can go a long way in changing the South African economy. Now we sit with the DG there and the two, the department and CETA. Ask question. We need an automated system for environmental impact assessment applications. That is everywhere in all provinces. Seamless, and then you ask why. SITA will come with their side of the story and say these are the... So to cut the long story short, what we are documenting now are the specific challenges that are being experienced on both sides so that we can then speed up the service delivery. So there are those kind of issues, and as I indicated, we'll be speaking to defense and subs next week, meeting with the national commissioner and the head of the defense so that we understand what the problems are with a view to then assist and find solutions.
On the toilet?
Okay,
Minister. Thanks, Chair. There was that question on MDDA and CENTEC. We have directed our teams to work together with Minister Mthembu's team. They met yesterday to say how can we fast track and make sure that we eliminate all these potential threats to the work that must be done. But also for today, although we're a huge delegation, I feel agree, but other members are here for the WEF Africa. So they just joined because we are here, some of them. It's not everybody that just came for the portfolio committee meeting only. Thank you. But in the future, we'll take that into consideration, nevertheless. Thank you so much, sir.
Honourable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the responses. If I can just say, I thought it's been a very successful meeting with the amount of information that's been exchanged and freely given. So thank you very much for that. Just a comment. This morning's Business Day carried a feature on the SABC, and I quote, and I'm quoting an SABC spokesperson, "The situation the SABC finds itself in today is as a result of all these lapses that happened over previous years as the result of failure by previous boards and management to do what was responsible and what was in line with the mandate of the SABC." And I understand that perfectly. You know, it was always the previous board or the previous guy or that president or whatever went before. Is any action going to be taken against these board members that are deficient in their duties, in their fiduciary duties as board members? Any action to make sure that these people are not reappointed to other boards of state-owned companies or state-owned entities down the line? Any of these people, because if they have the responsibility for bringing us to where we are today, then they must pay the price for it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Deputy Minister?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. And I think with due respect, Chair, members of the committee knows that it's Parliament that appointed board members. And I don't think it can be members of this committee who may want the minister to interfere in this process. What we want to do, and what we can always advise, I mean, we'll have our opportunity. Remember, Minister indicated that members of the board wrote to the ministry, and we responded to the chairperson of the board to make them aware of some of those. And for now, they said, give us space, we'll be able to deal with the issues. Nothing stops this committee to invite the entire board to come to this committee to come and present their cases. So if it's a matter of extreme urgency, this committee has that responsibility because it's them who appointed board members.
Understand that, Honourable Fundam.
Sorry, Chair, I know it's over time, but I agree with the Deputy Minister. The whole board must come. Exception. The whole board must come. And if there are troubles, as I said, we don't want to spend another term filling vacancies. And I know it's going to be he said, she said, and it's going to be a bun fight. So if we can look at, I don't know, someone from legal services, like we had evidence leaders before an inquiry. It's not an inquiry, but we need to get to the bottom of what's happening. And we need frank input. So if we can make it a whole day meeting and we can have time to interrogate every single board member properly so that we have a stable board. I know there's always friction with people, but at the end of the day, even if we have friction here, at the end of the day, we know what our job is. But if there's friction there and it's stopping their job, then it's our job to intervene. We must intervene. Not the minister.
Honorable Kubeka, I see your hand is up. And,
okay. Thank
Mulala,
you.
And we will try and wrap it up now.
Okay, can we give Mulala first?
Mulala first, okay.
Thanks, Whip, for giving the privilege. I think I'm going to propose an approach to this matter. Firstly, I think the minister already has an idea of what the problems are because they have already written to you. Now, can we request you before, I agree with Fandame that we need to meet the board with the deputy minister as well. We're going to do that. I think it's part of our resolution. I'm seconding that. But on the part of the minister, can the minister do a summary of what issues? Because calling the board without necessarily having the essence of the problem, we may sit here and they may start changing stories when they are here, because they may realize that maybe we might recommend that they go again, another story. So maybe minister can also be helpful. Just do us a draft of the key issues that are problematic, so that when we meet the board, at least we have a base on which we are working on. That would be my proposal, Chair, if the Chair agrees.
Honorable Kubek.
Thank you, Chair. I think Ndate Mulala... Honorable Mulala has tried to cover me to say, because I think the Honorable Minister have already sensitized us pertaining those issues to say there is letters in between that they have already written to her. So let's have the space first to have those issues with the minister in order that we must hear everything, not just to jump. Because now Honorable Mackenzie is good. He is always very sensitive on the issue of the media. So we can't just and then jump, but he cautioned us, let's start by all these processes first before we can go straight to the board, in order that we must have the whole information before we can call that board the whole as it is. And it's us again now, we are calling them, all of them now. Again, they must fly from those sites to Cape Town, all of them. Thank you.
May I suggest in guiding the meeting that we do not take further questions. If there are further questions, those can be coordinated through the content advisor and be sent to the department, so that we also get to close the meeting. There's also a sitting today, from what I know, so we also need to keep the time. But I think what is important coming from the committee, Minister, so that you also understand the point, we do not contest the shareholder issue raised by the Reserve Bank, so that there's no expectation of writing a letter to the Reserve Bank. But necessarily, even your financials as presented do indicate that the separation of the Post Bank from postal services creates a problem, and it will not meet universal standards. And therefore, in your processes of engagement, that's what you said you should do, so that also at the portfolio level, we can get to understand the finance perspective on why they think it should be a company of its own and be divorced from that. I just thought it's important to understand that resolution of the committee. Otherwise, we may have problems. I think what comes out clear also from this meeting is that indeed as it relates to your ICASA and others that you have not yet signed service level agreements, it means that this committee doesn't have an opportunity to play the oversight it's supposed to play, because we are supposed to play oversight even on those. We should be answering the question by now, that if you say by a particular time you would have had a directive that's clear, ICASA is meeting the requirements in terms of regulation for the spectrum issue. We should be going to the service level agreement. Are they going to deliver on this issue at a particular time? So if they are not there, I think all what it says that the committee, as ICASA would be appearing before the committee, but it was to deal with one issue that relates to elections, that we broaden that. I think now it's a committee issue. We broaden that. I think our content advisor must help us to do that, so that when they come before the committee, we can engage these issues ourselves as the committee to assist the department to be able to do what it's supposed to do. I think the other point relates to the finances generally, that whilst others may report even positive bank balance, if I were to put it in that way, but for a mere fact that we report fruitless and wasteful expenditure, in the long run they will collapse. And I think SAPC just shows that if you focus on one and forget about the others, by the time you go back to them, they've already collapsed and you'll not be able to do anything about that. But I think the sense we have is that SAPC is also coming, I want to remind members, on the 17th. So when they come, I think what we got as the committee now is that from the communication we have with SAPC, we also need the perspective of Treasury and GTEC in the same meeting, so that what goes out to the public can be tested against the other views, and we can be able to deal with that aspect. So I think that's what we'd be looking at. Otherwise, from where we are, we now have a sense of where things are and the admission that there are challenges in a number of areas. And I think what South Africans want to hear is that we're attending to the challenges and we're up to that. So that would, in a way, complete the session. And I know that we have, the session in relation to presentations. Remember that we have just few minutes to complete our own business as a committee. So in that score, I would release, or I can hear there are proposals, even if it's by, body language, that there's a proposal already, unless I read you wrongly, Fandam, that you are taking it to the next one again, you approval of independence and so on. But for the announcements that were to be made, those will be circulated to yourselves, the invites and so on. Will that help the meeting? If it helps, so our business...
So there is no report.
Yeah, so may I then announce that the advert for the ICASA one, which the committee members needed to see, that will also be circulated to yourselves as you leave now. It's available.
And the post office.
Now the meeting stays adjourned until the next one.